Mind-blowing sex is what we all aspire to experience. But how many of us have truly arrived once and then successfully come again? The ladies of Erotic Boudoir make it their mission to prioritize your pleasure, as well as guide you and your partners into a place of continued ecstasy. Erotic Boudoir has sparked, rekindled, and immensely enhanced scores of relationships by their expertise in sex toys, adult film conventions, and sexual demonstrations. Aside from being highly knowledgeable and skilled about their craft, Erotic Boudoir's most valued asset is their ability to recognize that everyone's pleasure is not only on an individual basis, but also an extremely confidential one. Allow Erotic Boudoir to maximize your sexual prowess and passion by unleashing your innermost fantasies and desires. If you are courageous enough to share what you like, there is no doubt Erotic Boudoir will introduce you to either a product or a technique that you will love. Prioritize your pleasure with Erotic Boudoir.
Nah, can't nobody silence me. I just want... It's not that all lives don't matter, but right now, our lives matter. Black lives matter.
Yes.
Black trans lives matter.
Yes.
Trans lives matter.
Yes.
Because guess what? We all minorities, but right now, like, let's focus on the person who got killed. Tony McDay was a black trans man. Okay, we're not doing this. We're doing this for him. We're doing this for our brothers and our sisters who got shot. But we're doing this for every black person. Because at the end of the day, I cannot take my fucking skin color off. I cannot mask this shit, okay? Everywhere I fucking go, I'm profiled whether I like it or not.
That ain't right.
Like, I'm looked at whether I like it or not.
That ain't right.
First of all, I want white people to realize their fucking privilege.
Yes, ma'am.
No one can look at you and tell anything about you unless you give them that information. Wherever the fuck I go, I'm profiled. Mm-hmm. Look at my fucking hair. Look at my skin, bruh.
You love it?
This shit, I can't take this shit off. So guess what? I'm going to die about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry about my fucking skin. Yeah. You cannot take my fucking blackness away from me. My blackness is not for your fucking consumption, nigga. It's not, okay? And y'all need to listen. It's, like I said, it's okay to be angry. Use wisdom. Don't move stupidly and get yourself hurt. Y'all already seen, we all in this together. I didn't mean to, like, divide anybody. We all in this together. My brother who got, he got ran over. Y'all need to know who the fucking enemy is. Sometimes I get mad. But I'm not trying to divide nobody. Y'all need to remember who fucking enemy is. It's racist Tallahassee. White racist Tallahassee.
Say it again.
Because those are the niggas that ran our fucking brother over. So y'all need to keep that in mind. The same energy that we had when we were walking the fucking streets, keep that with you at all fucking times. Don't let nobody take away your blackness from you. Your blackness is not supposed to be subdued at all. It's not.
That was a clip of a young 19-year-old activist. I can't say her name. I know it's Toyin is what people call her. Dodge, you know how to say her entire name?
Oluwa Toyin.
Okay. I was gonna say it and then all I said was okay.
Oluwa Toyin.
Oluwa Toyin. Was found in a ditch this past week with somebody else, an older woman. It was later found out that she had been raped and was murdered. And the suspect who is in custody is a black man. And that's just very, it's very sad for me. I hate the word rape. I hate the thought of it. Because she suffered for some time and I just, it's, I don't want to put that into your minds, but I do. I do. I want you to, I want y'all to hear that. I want y'all to think that. I want y'all to feel that. This young lady was out on the front lines at 19 years old going hard. They said that she was at every single protest of every gender, of every sexual orientation. She was there. If something happened to them, she was there representing. And she had her life taken from her.
Our guest is in the waiting room. Sorry. Should I admit him?
You can. And it's just been a, it's been a very, very dark week with this information and everything going on. Dodge, have you heard about this situation?
Yep.
Obviously, you do. You know her name better than I.
I know her name just because I just know a lot of Nigerian names. There have been several stories over the last couple of weeks, and I was explaining to y'all, like, sometimes I just need to disconnect because I feel everything, and sometimes I just need to, like, regroup. This was a story I could not escape, and a story that deeply, deeply bothered me, more so than a lot of the other stories that I have heard of in the last couple of days, because fuck it, I'm gonna say it. Black men can be so fucking disappointing sometimes. Like, just such a disappointment. Like, you find people like a Oluwatoyin or an Ayana Dior that are outside and protesting, and protesting Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter comes from a base of Black men being killed by the police, and Black women also. But when Breonna Taylor was murdered, niggas wasn't outside the way that they outside now off of the death of George Floyd. And you have all of these beautiful Black women that are willing to fight for y'all and willing, and let me not say y'all, because I don't want to make it about you two, obviously, but willing to, like, fight for our men, willing to like take a like to stand up for our men. And then you have 30 Black men that jump Ayana Dior, a trans Black woman. And then you have a Black man that opened up his home to Oluwatoyin for a place of solace for her so that she can, like, bathe and regroup and she can come back out tomorrow to continue to fight for them. It's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, and it does a lot of disservice to everything that we're fighting for, everything that we all are supposed to be fighting for. It's very unsettling. Like, that story, like, really fucks with me, bro. And it goes back to what what's the young lady that you were talking to, Tia? What's her name? The trans young lady that you were talking to the other day?
T, right. Mm-hmm. T Long.
Mm-hmm. Tia Long. It goes back to what she was saying when you were saying, like, what do we do? Like, what do I do as a cis hetero Black man? Like, how can I help y'all? And she said, love us, date us, like, say that we're your sister, your cousin, like, treat us like we are your family. Because what I have realized over the years is, and I'm sorry to put this on Black men, I'm so sorry, but y'all only love the women that are important to you. You'll treat another woman like shit. But if somebody treats your sister like shit, you tight. If somebody treats your daughter like shit, you tight. If somebody disrespects your mother, you tight. But you'll disrespect somebody else's daughter. You'll disrespect somebody else's sister, cousin, mother, child. it's like sometimes you get the feeling like, what the fuck are we even doing all of this for? Because we'll stand up for y'all every day, all day. And in the minute women call black men out on their shit or hold them accountable for their shit, it's like, oh, she's angry. I can't deal with her. She's bitter. She's this. Like, nah, I'm just trying to hold you to the standard in which you are meant to be. You're not some lackluster slack ass nigga. Like, you walk around like, oh, I'm a king. I'm a black king. So I'm going to treat you like that. And I'm going to hold you fucking accountable when you start walking out here acting like a bum bitch. I'm going to say, nah, you don't do that because you're a king. So you're supposed to act like this. But when you do that, it's a problem. It's so much divided. I'm so sorry. That you don't understand like how affected I am by just this story. Like, I'm so emotional about it.
You know, with this story, I'm conflicted on this argument, obviously. Because I like to listen now more than I like to talk when these things happen, right? But in the beginning of your argument, you said black men this, and you went in. And then you said, not you, Tahoe and Trump. You know, I'm not talking about y'all. And
no, I said I don't want to direct all of this energy to y'all just because I didn't want to do that. I'm speaking from a place of emotion, but I don't want to throw all my emotions on you two because you two are here, if that makes sense. Not saying that y'all ain't never did no fucked up shit in your lives, because I know your lives, but I just don't want to direct all of this energy to y'all.
See, the thing is, I don't, we could have such a great argument about, you know, the black men versus the black women thing right now with all of that. But I think that that's a disservice to the point that you're making. I want to argue with you so bad. I really do. And it's because there are black men that are doing the right thing, but this message needs to be sent to the people that it's directed to. Is it for everybody? 100%?
Absolutely not.
People get bothered often when these blanket statements are sent out there. Black men this, black women this. We have a guest in the room, a Dominican brother by the name of Cisco. Dominican men, Dominican people this. These generalizations that happen, and people get offended and people start fighting the wrong fight in the midst of something bigger, right? Trom, how did you feel when you heard what she was saying?
I feel that black women have probably been more disrespected than any sector of the world, period. You know what I mean? Because the black race has been the victims of the most global oppression, and then you add to that the sex of a woman, then it's like you double down on it, right? So I get what she's saying, right? And obviously, you, Tahoe, myself, we fight, we protect black women, we love black women. So she's not speaking to all black men, but black men as a whole obviously need to do better. Men as a whole need to do better. The only thing that the issue that I have with what Daj was saying is when you connect that issue to the Black Lives Matter issue, I think that's where it starts to get dangerous. That's when I believe even, and you know, this might be an unpopular thing to say, but the Black Trans Matter movement, I think that when you add to Black Lives Matter is a thing, when you add to it and segment it, and like, obviously Black Trans Lives Matters, obviously Black Women's Lives Matters, obviously Hispanic Lives Matters, but when you add to that specific movement, it starts to change into something else, and it's different, it's separate things. There can be a continuous, there can be a whole movement for just human rights in general, and that should be a continuous thing every day of our lives, but there's a specific history that Black Americans have faced that is unequal to any other race on the globe. When you start to mix that in with other people's experiences, or specifically to genders, it becomes a different movement. That's like during the Me Too movement, when a lot of women, Black women, were voicing their opinions about things that were going on, that's like a gay man saying, what about us? We're being victimized as well. And they have a point, but that's a separate thing. And now you're deflecting from the current movement. So with all due respect to the importance of protecting and respecting Black women, when you bring it up in as kind of like a fight against a Black Lives Matter, I think it's counterproductive.
You want to do it or me? I don't want to jump them. I have something to say, but I'm pretty sure you have something to say. So what do you want to do
here? Tag me in, coach. Put me in, coach.
I don't want to do it. All right. Go ahead. Do your thing.
DJ Trauma, I love you. I love you bad.
Love you too.
I love you bad. But what part of Black Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter, what part of that is not the same exact thing? Because we're talking about Black trans people. And Black trans people, when they die, and they die frequently and often as fuck, the only people that care are the LGBTQ community.
Mostly the trans
hetero. This is mostly the trans community, because the white gays don't even give a fuck. So it's not divisive per se. It's a, hey, Black family, we're here too. We fuck with you too, because we also understand that we're Black. We would love for you guys to give a fuck about us also, and then we can do all of this together. But then Black men and some Black women are just like, no, it's separate. They're two different things. It's the same shit. You can't say Black Lives Matter and exclude trans lives and try to push them to the side for the moment and be like, all right, wait, because this is about us. They are us.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter includes Black trans lives.
It doesn't.
Why?
It doesn't. That's not true.
So
we don't go up in arms.
Hold up, y'all. One at a time.
Sorry. We don't go up in arms for Black trans when they get killed too. Because Tony McDade got murdered by the cops after George Floyd, and most Black people don't even talk about it.
So to answer that question, a lot of Black people other than George Floyd got murdered. George Floyd being the one that started this whole movement is because of a lot of different factors. It had to do with timing, mostly because of the pandemic and everything. It was a boiling point. His life was no more important than Breonna Taylor or Tamir Rice or any of the hundreds of people on that list. So you can't compare and say, oh, a Black trans life was lost and nobody said anything. George Floyd was just
But it was after.
A timing.
It was after.
Because I'm just saying, the timing of it is why we focus on
the young man that got killed the other day at the Wendy's. Niggas is going up in arms for that, right? And then you talk about the two college students that got pulled out of the cars. Niggas was up in arms about that. Tony McDade died before that, and you didn't hear no type of uproar about it.
The thing to me is, with this conversation, and I understand Trump's point. I don't agree with it, only because I've done some thinking on it, because I'm on social media a lot and I pay attention to what's being said. I think the thing that we need to remember is the word unity, right? Mm-hmm. And we start using the word sex and segmenting and things like that. Those thoughts to me add more to the disruption of unity than to allow people that that you align yourself with to speak their truth and say, I understand and I represent you too. I think when we ask them to wait their turn, which is something, it sounds when you say, yo, this ain't the time for that. Or let's, you know, it's gonna take away from what we're doing. What who's doing? No. I'm Black too. And I need to be out here too. And I need y'all to represent me too. Mm-hmm. I need y'all to see me too. I want to feel comfortable walking next to you in a protest too. I don't want to walk next to you and you looking at me like that's a man, or, you know, and that's a thing that when the young lady that was jumped by 30 men.
Ayanna Dior.
That happened in the midst of all of this.
Yeah. And she was coming from a rally. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. So you can't say that because you have to. We have to protect us.
So here's the thing.
All of us.
I'm sorry that I'm so eager to cut y'all off, but I wanted to cut y'all off to say I agree with what y'all are saying. I understand what you're saying. I guess what I'm saying is from the point that when I say Black Lives Matter, that includes Black trans lives. That includes Black women.
Why can't we say it?
But because it's a given.
It is not a given.
Hold on. I'll let y'all speak.
I said one thing.
I'm going to lose my thought. When I say it's a given, that's a given to me. And that's why I am agreeing with you, Daj, and you, Taha, because you're right. It may not be the same for everybody. There may be a Black man that is standing there talking about Black Lives Matter, and they may be prejudiced against trans, and that's not okay. So I can accept what y'all are saying, and I can agree with y'all saying under that pretense, because for me personally, Black Lives Matter includes everybody that I consider Black, everybody under the diaspora, so nobody's left out.
You know what I was thinking?
So when you segment it just loses its steam.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
If people are feeling left out, then it's an issue. I agree.
Yeah. You know what? It's not. It's even more than left out. It's more like, say something was happening in New York City, right? Say something was happening and everybody wanted to band together to protect New York City. And the Ku Klux Klan people in New York City was out trying to fight New York City, to fight the people that was going to do something in New York City. And me and my Black Lives Matter people, we out there too. But now me and this Ku Klux Klan member are side by side. And he's like, let's protect the city. And I'm telling him, yo, I'm more scared of you than I'm scared of them.
Beautiful analogy.
Fucking I need you to analogy. Represent me. If we're going to do this together, you need to see me too. The shit y'all be doing to me be fucking me up on every day. Don't take for granted that I'm out here. But please understand, I'm way more afraid of you than whoever's doing something to this fucking city.
Right.
Agreed. That is a perfect analogy. My God, I love you. Your growth is amazing.
I watched a lot of people say what you said. I actually had arguments about this trauma, which is why I was able to make that analogy. But I also realized that me arguing with people who was going against this shit, it was just causing too much pain and hurt for other people. So it was like, I said what I said and I moved on. But I never was able to say that analogy. Mm-hmm. I don't personally think that saying Black women's lives matter, Black gay lives matter, Black trans lives matter, take away from the Black Lives Matter movement. I think as a Black man who has subjected people to a certain type of pain, it's important for me, while I'm saying Black Lives Matter, to let them know I hear them and I stand with them. And it doesn't, for me, take anything away from the Black Lives Matter movement because they are one with me, which is what T. Long was saying. Now, I'm not going to fuck a trans lady, but just to let them feel comfortable with me. But I'll definitely walk the streets with you. I'll definitely hold your hand in unity, you know? I'll go to lunch with you. You know what I mean? I don't think I got to get my dick sucked. But I'll hang out. You know, we could be people. You know what I mean? A little comedy relief for the tension. Cisco, what's happening, my brother? How are you?
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Did you enjoy the first segment?
I'm just here, man. I'm living. Just watching y'all doing your thing. I love the podcast game. Me and Tahoe go way back. Well, not way back.
Enough, man. Enough. Yeah, far enough.
Enough. It's enough. So I'm just watching y'all do your thing, man. I love creative. I love anything creative. So
now
I'm back, man. If y'all let me be like a blind spot on a Zoom next time, you don't even got to see me. I just want to do your thing.
You want to see the podcast or you want to be in the moment with us?
I want to be in there. Just black me out, though.
let me look at my notes because I don't want to move forward before I hit everything that I want to hit. Okay. Before we go into what I want to talk to Cisco about, does anybody have anything else that they want to say about this situation?
I can't talk about it anymore.
I just want to say that I again, I want to say I agree with Dodge. I agree with Tahoe, and it's okay to give your opinion and then realize where you're wrong and admit it. And I think that
I think that you should be punished. I think that you should post on your page, Black Trans Lives Matter.
I don't think I need to do all that. But I do think that from my perspective, it's automatic that Black Trans Lives Matter under the same movement. But I get what y'all are saying. For a lot of people, black men are the ones that oppress the black trans. So they're not used to being allies with them, and they're not used to them having their back. And so it's important that we say it. So I don't want to just be like,
it's important that we mean it.
Of course.
And I think that I was serious, mm-hmm. that you should post it on your page. And I think that doing that, now I'm not telling you, you know what I mean? I'm just arguing my point. But I think that making a statement like that, that's like if I work with white people, right? Mm-hmm. And they're quiet, but they say, yo, I stand with you, but they're quiet. I don't see nothing. I don't see y'all talking about the protest is annoying you, huh? The protest is annoying you. I have a problem with that. If I'm with you and the protest is annoying you way more than the motherfucker that's got killed for selling cigarette out of the store or got killed, got leaned on for 8.5 minutes crying for his dead mother to the point where he's saying, I'm gonna die. And he dies and you're more worried about the protest. I don't believe you. You could say it all you want. I don't believe you. You and I as black men, I think have a responsibility if we're going to make a stance and we have this platform to actually mean it and show that we mean it. I don't think posting something on my story goes against what I stand for. I think it's actually make a statement. And I think that people who follow me is like, wow, Tahoe, you really going to post that? I think they can feel that. But I need them to know that's where I stand. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to my own people. The same way we say white people need to talk to their own people, right? Mm-hmm. So by me posting it, that's me. By me talking about it on the show, by me posting it on my pages, by me saying, yo, yes, I will stand right next to you and hold your arm in the air and say Black Trans Lives Matters. I'm actually doing something against the oppression that I may have shown in the past. Because I was a homophobic, transphobic, black, dark-skinned woman hating ass nigga. Like, I really have gone through a whole pattern of fucked up shit. So to me, my charge in this world is to correct the shit that I've done wrong. So I don't know why wouldn't you want to post it on your page?
There's nothing wrong with it. I believe that posting is something that has to do with self-expression. So usually there's like literally 100 things that I see throughout the day that I'm like, damn, I want to repost that. Like, that's dope. But there might only be one thing that I might actually do. And I don't even post a lot in general, right? But that one thing might be something that really, really resonates. It doesn't mean I don't agree with the other 99 and I don't stand behind it, but that's just me. Like, it doesn't mean that I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. And in fact, I would consider it, you know?
Well, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I just think that we should be deliberate. I think deliberate is a super big word when it
deliberate comes and intentional.
Yeah. Like when you're talking about somebody besides yourself or something that you're standing, you have to make that statement loudly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say it silently and be like, I stand with them. Well, what the fuck? How? Nobody knows. You know what I mean? You're riding the fence. That's why I'm so adamant about it. So today is what? June? What's today?
16th.
16th. In 3 days.
Juneteenth, nigga.
19th.
I'm ready to turn up.
Anybody want to tell us the history of June 19th? Anybody?
Quick question. Queen, what's how you pronounce your name?
Daja.
Daja. Okay.
Yes.
If I forget it, or
I'll correct you.
Pronounce it. Just okay.
I got you.
We call her Dodge.
Same difference.
Dodge, like she dodges all the answers.
That how about D? Let's say, hey D. Is that acceptable?
Nah, my students call me that.
Not Miss D, bro. Please, not Miss D. Dodge.
Yeah. All right. So history of Juneteenth is a American holiday, also known as Freedom Day, and it commemorates June 19th, 1865. Texas was the last state to let their free slaves go. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863. Texas, you know how they are in Texas. They was holding on to them niggas, and they finally let them go June 19th, 1865. So that is the date that all Black people in this country were officially free. We call it Juneteenth. It is our Independence Day. This is the day we should have been celebrating.
Let's be clear that they didn't let the slaves go. The army had to show up.
They had to come and take them.
They had to go down there and show up and let them know it's over.
You've extended your shit long enough.
I believe they had a 2-year
something
because of plantations or business or something. I don't know what the thing was.
They had to figure out a plan to phase out slavery and what they were going to do next. They had 2 years to figure it out.
So,
I was going to say, and the fucked up thing is the enslaved people had no idea about the Emancipation Proclamation. Like, there was no Twitter back then. They didn't know what happened 2 years prior. Like,
they couldn't fucking read. So here we are. Niggas just didn't know.
Just fucked up, right?
Yo, can you imagine if that shit happened today? Like, yo, you would have heard the fucking shackles dropping. Like, immediately, the minute they signed that shit, niggas would be like, yo, we free. Niggas just tweeted, we free. Hold up.
I don't like you.
Niggas are like, what? Yo, you bugging. Look right here.
A mess. So, what we doing?
I really want to know. What the fuck are people's plans for Juneteenth?
Because Orlando said he wanted to have a barbecue. I'm down for that if he decides to do it.
He lives in Long Island, man.
You drive. Come get us.
It's not I want to be loud. Long Island ain't.
Have you been to his house? He lives with mad Jamaicans. I'm pretty sure that they're all really fucking loud. And this is like his fourth barbecue since he bought that house. So,
Trom, you have any plans for Juneteenth?
I don't have any plans. I'm going to be on daddy duty. Doesn't mean I can't do anything, but it just limits how I move. But I am doing something for one of the schools that I work with. They're doing like a program. So it's going to be a Zoom call with like the whole entire student body. And I'm going to be playing some music and stuff. So,
it's like a party. That's nice.
Yeah. Cisco, you have anything planned for Juneteenth?
I'm going to be honest. My birthday is the day before.
Okay.
And then Father's Day usually, thank you. Then Father's Day is usually the day after that.
Mm-hmm.
So my focus is on that. I didn't grow up with Juneteenth as part of my, my brain.
Mm-hmm. But now that you know, you can't just turn up all 3 days.
I'm still understanding and learning about what this really is, just by listening to folks like you guys talk about it.
Sis, what is your background? Let's speak on that. Your background, your nationality.
I am Dominican, first generation. So I was like part of the first group of Dominican-born Americans who were part of this whole culture thing.
Because
Dominicans, like the flock, usually they came in like in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first kids that were a product of that.
Right.
Okay.
So I have a different, I see things a little different. And a lot of folks don't really get it, but I also deal with a lot of younger folks. So a lot of people that I converse with on a daily, they're usually in the 20s or like early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a different experience. Like they missed out on so much shit that I had to deal with, that now they don't get it. They don't see that as an actual reality. So, but we'll talk about that later when we discuss about what I came here for.
We're here. Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. What's up?
You and you jumped in a conversation that I was having with a young lady. I believe this is when we first said that we were gonna have you on the show, where I mentioned, wow, there's a lot more white folk at these protests than Hispanic folk, or something along the line. And then the young lady who identifies as Black, she's Dominican as well, I believe. And she's like, yo, this is divisive. We're all out there. You don't know who is Spanish or who is what that's out there. You know, you need to stop. you know, generalizing and you know, and I, you know, I apologize for that. I was like, yo, you know what? Later on, after we had a full discourse, I was like, yo, I can see how that is divisive. Let me step back from that because that's not what I'm trying to do right now. Me trying to.
How do you see Hispanic though? You see Hispanic as light skin?
I see Hispanic as the people that could pass. Okay, I see. First of all, Hispanic is everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Hispanic is everything from all of that. So let me just make sure. But the ones that I talk about are the ones that can pass and that play towards the white side for passing way more than they identify with their African roots, way more than they ever align themselves with Black people. As a matter of fact, they make sure to make a deliberate separation, intentional separation, and say, I ain't one of those Cocolos, or I ain't, you know, the Morena or Moreno, whatever. They make sure that we know that we're Black and they're not. Is that your experience? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
No, I get what you're saying. But also, you got to kind of understand where your mindset is too, right? Because you automatically think that Hispanic is light skin. And that's something you need to unlearn.
I didn't say that. I actually said
that. I kind of did, because you said the way you see Hispanics are folks who can play both sides, which is light skin. You just didn't say it, but that's what you said, which is fine.
I said the ones that I was talking about, the people right. that I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. The ones you were talking about were those that can play white or play Hispanic at any point. Mm-hmm. But then you just said how I see Hispanic.
Oh, this is it?
Light skin. Because she could be Hispanic, she could be Panamanian.
I'm Panamanian.
She could be Dominican. She could pass for Puerto Rican, Colombian, Brazilian.
I mean, I'm South American or whatever on the low.
Or whatever.
I am.
On the Bronx show?
No, hell no.
Because whatever kind of gave it away. Okay, it's fine.
Nah.
But now, like, that's a mentality too. Everything, there's so many things that we as a people need to unlearn.
Mm-hmm.
Like it goes so deep. And sometimes we spew it and we don't even know that we haven't unlearned. And Tahoe's a perfect example of that. He looks at Hispanics one way, which is cool. Like I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying you look Hispanic and you say got someone that can play both sides. But you didn't even realize that so many more Hispanics look like me. Why? Because we in the sun every day. We in the sun every day, fam. There's more that look like me than look like them.
So as a Hispanic man, do you consider yourself Black or do you consider yourself Hispanic?
All right, so this is a good question. Because what I want a lot of folks to understand is that me as a Dominican, I identified Dominican before I identify American. If that makes sense. Because I was the first line of defense of or the immigrants. Mm-hmm. Like I was the first child of an immigrant, right?
Right.
So I was raised with an immigrant mindset.
Okay.
I was not raised with an American. I didn't learn English until I was in the third grade.
Okay.
Right? So I didn't listen to the music. I didn't watch the sports. I didn't play those games. I didn't have board games. There were no Monopoly. The household was as Dominican as it is in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Can I? Are you?
No. Let me just finish out. So, I say that to say this: we Hispanics and like West Indians and Africans, we deal in nationality. We emphasize nationality and ethnicity: Hispanic, Dominican, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, or West Indian, Jamaican, West Indian, Haitian. Like that's how we work. It wasn't until we got to this country that race became a thing. Because we never dealt in race. We dealt in nationality. So when I ask you, yo, where you from? You don't say, oh, I'm Black. We would say, oh, I'm Puerto Rican. Like before we say anything, we tell you where our nationality is. If you ask a Haitian right now, yo, where you from? They're not going to say, I'm from Brooklyn. Those that identify Haitian, they're going to tell you I'm Haitian. Before anything else.
But so the question was, do you identify as a Black person?
As a person here that deals with race in this country, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a Black person. Because okay. I understand that's how y'all play this game here. But in DR, we don't play Black, White, Asian.
But the thing
either
is,
Dominican, light skin, or you Dominican dark skin. That's it. You understand?
I feel like you needed to say all of that instead of just saying, yeah, I do identify as black.
Because I want people to understand that there's something behind that.
Yeah, it's a great answer. I'm glad that he answered it that way. Yeah.
It isn't a quick I'm black or white. It's you need to know why I got to this point.
Mm-hmm. Colorism.
It makes sense.
I respect that you took the long path because we need to understand everything. And let me ask you, do you prefer being referred to as Hispanic or Latino? And what's the difference? And I'm just asking.
I'm old school. So okay. I'm just got used to this Latinx thing. That's something I knew. We didn't grow up with that. So I don't, but that's them. If that's how they want to identify, that's cool. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm just Dominican.
Okay.
Because in the Hispanic culture, there is a lot of division. Mexicans don't want to be too referred to as Dominican. Puerto Ricans don't want to be referred to as Panamanians, so on mm-hmm. and so forth.
Right.
And we have our own lingo. We have our own little slang. We have our own little culture that separates us. But a lot of it brings us together, the food, the culture, the way we address each other, the passion, the language, the colonizer's language. Mm-hmm. But I'm Dominican. Mm-hmm. And or I'm a New Yorker, either or. Don't. That's how I go.
Gotcha.
Because when you know exactly what it is, maybe that helps you kind of like understand who I am more.
Gotcha.
Because Puerto Rican's got a different experience. You know what I'm saying? Haitians got a different experience. Nicaraguans have a different experience. People from Ecuador have a different experience. And I'm not going to take it away by just folding all of us into a Hispanic folder.
Gotcha.
We experience mm-hmm. different things. If you hear what's going on in Ecuador and Venezuela right now, it's real. Like, it's not like what's going on in DR. So I don't want us to just put us all in the same boat because we have different experiences currently.
It's funny that you say that because I think the opposite when it comes to black. I don't like the term African-American.
Me neither.
Because it segments Jamaicans that are living in America now, but they identify as Jamaicans, segments Nigerians or other people from all over the globe that are black. So African-American is just one segment of that. But when you look at it globally, when you're black, you're black. And the systemic racism against us is against black skin. It's not against whether you Jamaican or this, that, or other. So
right,
when we separate ourselves, it makes it harder to combat something that was not separated. It was very general and broad. You know what I mean?
But the reason why you probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, you don't like the term, let me not say that because you already explained it, but I've heard this before. And mm-hmm. what I've learned is some people would say, well, we haven't been African for 400 years. I'm American. I'm black.
Right. Same.
That's what it is. And that's all I want to identify as.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get back to where we all dropped off in different spots. So we kind of take that away by saying that I'm not African anymore because it's been 400 years.
I don't think that's the argument. I think that the argument is, and it goes back into like blackness and being black in America. How many generations does my family have to be here for me to just be American? Because if you ask a white person what they are, they could be two generations removed from Europe. They could be one generation removed from Europe, and they're just an American. But my family has been in this country for how many hundreds of years, and I still have to identify as an African American, even though I have no ties to Africa. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, all of them are American. They were born in America. So why am I not considered an American? Because that's just another way for you to divide me by the color of my skin when I'm just an American. My daddy is from Guyana. He's from South America. So he's a South American in America. Why would you call him an African American? Mm-hmm. I have a best friend that's family's from Nigeria. He's an African American. Actually, no. Yeah, if he was born here, he wasn't.
Technically,
if
yes.
He was born here, he was African American. Stop bunching all of us together because of our skin tone. That's a bunch of bullshit to me.
I have so many things that I've been wanting to say while y'all.
I'm sorry.
He can't stop moving over. He's fidgeting and shit.
My bad.
Well, let me start here. Don't we think that the term African American comes from the fact that we were rooted there in African America, regardless of whether we were dropped off in Dominican Republic, regardless of whether we went to Ecuador, regardless of whether we went to South America. We're talking about our roots. I think that's the same reason why we expect or we want the Hispanic people to identify as Black as well, because it's about where we come from. Mm-hmm. This is all, we're all products of the slave trade, no matter how much you've bonded with the place you landed, with your slave port,
right?
With your receiving slave port, you have to all understand that we come from somewhere else. So Dodge, I don't agree with your look. Cisco, I don't agree with your look. Trump, I don't agree with your look. I personally just don't like the term African-American because it makes me think of kente cloth. And I don't know. But that's kente a whole other difference. Fire. That's me just being an ignorant nigga. But Cisco, man, you know, so I'm going to take away. No, I just want to know, you know, if you're accusing me of being a colorist towards Hispanic people, I would then turn around and ask you about the history of colorism in your community, when how you identify with darker, or how you guys look at darker Hispanics versus lighter Hispanics. This isn't something that is just, you. Like, I think you tried to put that on me when, I honestly, that wasn't my point. I think you tried to make a point out of it, which is fine. But I think colorism in your community ranges rampant, even to the point with the Dominicans and the Haitians right now. So what?
That's different though. Dominicans and Haitians have a deeper history.
So we don't know, right? I don't know about all that, right? So what do you think about the colorism in your community? Where does that come from?
It's colonization, period. Mm-hmm. Lighter-skinned people were made to be looked up on, and dark-skinned people were the slaves doing all the manual work and all the manual labor. Mm-hmm. And we've always been looked up on. I didn't grow up. See, that's the thing. I guess I got lucky. My family didn't stress that colorism shit, but we knew it was there. We come from Puerto Plata, which is a part that's very Cibaeño, which is very, like, I guess you would call it the hood in DR. Mm-hmm. And we just dealt with each other, man. We just didn't deal with that because we all looked alike. We literally all looked alike. Again, it wasn't until I started dealing with people outside of my community that I started noticing that there was a huge difference. And in the Heights, we have our Black community, we have our Jewish community, we have a Dominican community. And it wasn't until I started really being around Black folk where I started understanding what all this was about. We didn't have to deal with that. I never had to even think about that. It wasn't even our mentality is just survive to the next day. Where are we going to get our food from? How are we going to shower? Where's the money coming from? That was our day to day. Race was so far buried that it wasn't even a thought.
Do you think that there is a sense of racism / colorism from the Dominican community, let's say back and forth between the Black community and Dominican community? What do you think that's about? Yeah, here in New York, in your experience in the Dykeman or whatever.
So I want to paint a quick picture for you guys, right? And you in DR and you got a TV, shit might be trash. And you're watching all this like American content. And you're seeing white, you're seeing Black, you're seeing the occasional Cuban or Puerto Rican, the occasional, right? And then you notice when you watch the news, all these like Black folks looking crazy. The media has portrayed Black folks looking crazy. And we came in a time where crack just started hitting real hard. Mm-hmm. And we watching all these images in DR like, yo, what the fuck? Then we get here. We go to the hood because that's all we can afford. Who's in the hood? Black folk. So immediately we're right intertwined with all of that. And we see what we saw on the news, but real live. And unfortunately, we start looking at that as less than. Same way when we were growing up and we would see African kids in the TV, what do we see? Flies, women with their titties out, with a big bag of laundry here. That's all we thought Africa was, all in the 80s. So the same imagery that got you thinking about Africa like that is the same thing that got us looking at y'all like, wow, because of crack and the way the media puts Black folks in the most negative light possible. So we go in with these misconceptions. We go in with all this shit. And we judge. We prejudge. It's sad, but it's the truth. But we get hit with all these images, and then we see it. You were here in 83, 84, and you in Manhattan or the Bronx, the first time you see like black folks, and this is what you see, you just automatically think everyone's like that. Well, so you start judging. You start judging like a motherfucker. And we religious, Catholic, forced to believe all this bullshit. You add that into the equation, it's over, son. It was like the perfect storm.
But we
made it happen though. We were good. And then it started becoming more about, then we started developing our own neighborhoods. You know, the West Indians went to Boston Road, the Africans went to Harlem, Bronx, the Dominicans went to the Heights, the Puerto Ricans went to Spanish Harlem. We started developing our own neighborhoods because that was the only way we was gonna make it.
I was thinking somebody else was gonna have something to say. We all looking at each other. This is Zoom.
We shit. Waiting for you.
We all looking at each other like, you going, I'm going, you going.
Go ahead.
I really like that answer, bro. It really, like, it make me understand a lot of shit that I never understood. And so that last 2 minutes, it really, like, opened my eyes to a lot of shit. But what I still don't get is how the elders in your community really don't, still are so colorist. Like, all right, so you say you come here and you've seen it, and you've seen us. It was the same images in your reality that you saw on television? Because you said the media blew it up, but then you said you came here and you seen it for yourself.
I was raised uptown in Harlem, Riverside 137th.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rough, man. It was tough. Every day you see black folk getting arrested, getting beaten, on drugs. There was no good examples. There was no good examples. So we just, not me per se, because I was a kid, so I didn't see things that way yet. But I can understand why my parents would look at black folks and be like, oh, they're savages, animals.
Because you can understand why.
I could get it, because that's all they were fed. They weren't fed any positive black folks at all. Not in the news, not in the TV shows. Not in the community. Nothing. All you saw was abandoned buildings, crackheads, dope fiends, white cops chasing black kids. The only thing that was positive was sports. Right? When you looked at baseball in the early 80s, all there was white and black. And the occasional Dominican and the occasional Puerto Rican. The occasional. We wasn't shit yet. We were just super minorities. But that's how we saw. When we saw those black sports baseball players doing their thing, we rooted. But then you come back to reality, you go down 5 flights of stairs, you go outside, boom, reality once again. Every day. And I don't have an excuse for it. I don't have an explanation that will make you feel better about the situation, but I'm just telling y'all,
you don't think that the relationship between Hispanic and black people, the one that's bad, because I have a great relationship with a lot of Hispanic people, I want to say that have accepted me and called me and want me to hang out and, you know, whatever. And I got the brother, Spanish brothers as well. So it's not about, you know, this is not an attack on Hispanic people, but you don't think that. You said a lot about your images, but you do have a colorism issue in your community with
1,000%
skin versus the darkest skin. You don't think that that has more to do with the separation between the elders and the darker skinned people, the black people here? And you don't think that had anything to do with it? You just think
1,000% it fed that ideology. It fed it. So if I already have a colorism issue in my head and then I see this, it just fed it and it made it worse. But what I don't understand, honestly, is these new kids who have an issue with black folk, because those new kids are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we, in the 40, 45-year-old range, the first kids, we should have been teaching our kids, that's enough. That's not what it is. This is what it is. So we failed those kids. Mm. My generation has failed those kids because they should not be in that mindset at all, especially now in 2020. Like, it's nuts when I see videos of Hispanics just wilding and just saying whatever comes in their head. And it's not just Dominicans. It's not just Puerto Ricans. It's all of them. Mexicans. All of them.
Ecuadorian. Yeah, son, I've heard a lot of this shit. I've heard a lot of crazy shit.
All of them. And a lot of that is religion, colonization, imagery, and our old heads telling these kids. They ain't even telling them. They're just speaking shit into existence, and the kids are listening and they're watching. And they inherit it. They just move with it. That's all they know.
You were here when I was speaking about being deliberate and being intentional. And that's why I said what I said about the Hispanic community not showing up in droves, in droves. Yes, we have our friends, and yes, we have our allies and things like that. But it's like, I hate that it's like I'm saying something that people don't understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I want the Hispanic, like you say, I see in Paris, there's people in Paris. They ain't even here. That's support. I'm looking at them protests, and I'm like, yo, they not even here. And they feel this shit. They standing up for this shit. I would have liked to seen that in the Hispanic community.
Oh, you didn't see it in Puerto Rico?
I didn't see it in Puerto Rico. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just didn't see it.
There was 20 people that got swapped up in SWAT cars and taken away.
Yeah. I definitely saw it in Puerto Rico. Yeah.
Ooh. In Puerto Rico, they don't play, man. They on it. Yeah. I mean, their island is like this big. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. So funny.
Here you go. Come on with the Puerto Rican Dominican slander.
No, but it's I love
one
it.
Time, Clark Kent,
Dominicans came and ate the Puerto Ricans up, bro. I went to high school with the Puerto Ricans, and I don't know what happened after high school, but like Dominicans just took over. So I got out of high school with 92, 93. But maybe 3 years later, nobody was Puerto Rican no more. Everybody was Dominican.
Went to Pennsylvania. They went to Jersey. They got better jobs. They speak better English. So they got out of there, man.
And what is the issue? What's the issue between Puerto Rico and Dominicans? Let's just stop this.
It's so trivial. It's so trivial. This is how dumb it is, right? It's like, imagine if you're an R&B head and you're a rap head and you're fighting each other because you hate each other's genres. That's all it was. Merengue is Dominican. Puerto Ricans is salsa. One of the biggest salsa guys ever made a disparaging remark of merengue, saying that it's an art that ain't going to make it. It's going to be trash in a couple years. And all the people that were in merengue took that shit personal, and it just turned into like a rivalry after that. Mm. That's all it is. And Dominicans have this sentiment like, well, Puerto Ricans are just Americans. And Puerto Ricans think that Dominicans are just like dirty Hispanics.
Oh, shit.
There's a thing. Like, you literally cannot mistake a Dominican woman for a Puerto Rican woman.
No, you don't like that.
But you don't want to do that with West Indians either. Call a Jamaican a Haitian and see what happens. Right.
No, because that's not necessarily true. Because we're not going to get mad. We're just going to correct you.
Like,
how many people tell me that they think that I'm Jamaican?
I've made that mistake. And I
like, yo, Dodge, you Jamaican, right? Like, nah, I'm Guyanese. Like, yo, Dodge, you hate? Nah, I'm Guyanese. I'm not going to be like, why the fuck would you? I only do that shit for Brooklyn and the Bronx. Sorry. But
don't
mistake me for a Bronx bitch.
You
can
say Guyana. You can say Panamanian. You can say all of those other things. But you say Haitian to a Jamaican, they're going to say something crazy. And now, being that we're there, I want to know what the hell happened between Dominicans and Haitians that they're like persecuting them like that over there.
Yeah, that shit is wild.
Here's a short history.
Please do. Thank you.
Haitians got their freedom, and we helped them. But they were the majority. They ran that. Then we had like about 40 years of where Haitian ruled the island. And I need you to understand, when you rule an island, do you think you rule it in a nice way?
Usually not.
By force. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Haitians ran the island with force for 40 years, and the Dominicans never forgot it.
Mm. Y'all are a petty bunch. Jesus.
Listen. When we got our independence from Haiti, we lost it to Spain, beat the Spaniards again with the help of Haitians. But after that, we were like, nah, we're going to separate this island. y'all got y'all, we got y'all ours, and that's it. We got our independence, and then we had a huge massacre where Haitians killed a bunch of Dominicans during that 40-year rule, and then Dominicans got payback when we had a dictator by the name of Trujillo who was awful, but crime was like at 0% where he was running shit. But he was awful. He was awful. He got payback and killed thousands of Haitians when he was the ruler. And ever since then, we've just been back and forth. So it's deeper than color. Color is part of it, no doubt about it. But it's deeper than just that. We have history with Haitians ruling the DR and then DR getting payback.
I'm glad you broke it down. I really thought it was just colorism the whole time.
We have a lot of people from the Bahamas, Jamaica, Barbados who come to DR for work.
Right.
And you never hear about any of them having issues. It's just the Haitians. And unfortunately, there's so much bad blood that people just ain't forgetting it, man. They don't want to move on from it.
People don't forget.
But I want to know, really, is you know of all of these things that's happening in your community. And what exactly, this isn't a personal attack, or this isn't even about you, but what do you think is a plan? Like, what do you think you should do or your generation should do to educate the younger people in your community that you're saying are carrying on ridiculously now that you know better? Is the persecution of Haitians, is it a righteous cause at this point? Because it was, 40 years ago, you're saying? Like, at what point do you say within your community, we need to take a stand against these things? And then if you have, let me know if there is something going on, let me know, because we don't know.
Well, I mean, I surround myself with people who are like-minded. If you're a Dominican, I want to work with you. If you are Caribbean, I want to work with you. Those are my first people. And then I fuck with Americans. Because, and I'm not saying that to be a dick.
I get it, though.
If it ain't me giving them opportunities, it ain't going to be nobody else.
What's that mean? Oh, the Caribbean and
the Caribbeans, just in general, Caribbeans. We have like different languages and accents. And when I see a West Indian person like who identifies with their West Indian, it's like, I appreciate that because I get it. Mm-hmm. I want to hire them because they get me. Americans sometimes have elitism tied into their... And then it's like anti-immigrant sentiments too that I deal with sometimes. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. But what I do, I'm on part of the community board in the Heights. And what we're planning now is all the establishments in the Heights who do business are going to have to start posting articles in their stores where people who feel they've been racially profiled can complain. And if there's a club or a bar who has a certain amount of complaints, we are going to strip them of their liquor license immediately, pending investigation.
That's amazing, bro.
Yeah, we've organized rallies. I haven't been part of the rallies, but a lot of my youngins are organizing rallies as we speak. There was one this past Sunday from the Heights to Harlem. So me, as far as what I'm doing with that's one of my biggest things. And then I have this festival called the Uptown Flavor Festival where we represent everything from the Heights, Harlem, Bronx. So we want to represent African culture, Dominican culture, Puerto Rican, like anything that all the cultures that make up Uptown, the Bronx and the Heights and Harlem, I want them to be showcased the same way the Food and Wine Festival showcases motherfucking Scotland or whatever the fuck these people are from. I want to do that. So getting jobs, changing culture, and putting money in people's pockets. That's how I see change.
I loved everything you said, but I'm a bitch-ass nigga that has a problem with everything. Nice. I do. I know that. I realize that. Like, I'm just a bitch-ass nigga that has a problem with everything, and fuck it. I'm going to make a couple dollars off this shit. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to argue with you, not in a disrespectful way. But you said you go for the Hispanic people, the Caribbean people first, and then the Americans, then the black people.
No. Americans.
Then, like, us Americans are the black people. You're the Dominicans. Then you have the Jamaicans. And you have the Grenadians. I'm not saying we're not all the same. But like you said, you recognize nationality first.
Yes.
You looking for nationality first. So yes, that's a separatist statement that leaves us out. We don't have the connections to culture that you have. We don't have the connections to culture that you have. We don't have the interconnections in our community that tie us besides nigga. That's all we have. Y'all have Dominican Republic. Y'all have Jamaica. Y'all have all of these other things that you can lean on. You can go back home and make money. You can make money here, send it home and buy property. We ain't got that. You saying that we aren't the ones that are going to get these opportunities, that y'all aren't the ones that's going to get these opportunities first. Not going to get them. But we're not going to get them from white America. We're not going to get them from Hispanic America. We're not going to get it from West Indian America. The black people that's from here, we don't get that. Y'all have these connections in your communities that y'all can utilize. Am I wrong? Please, everybody.
I think you're wrong because I think black Americans.
Well, you're Jamaican. You love this thing with Jamaica.
So. I think black Americans should look out for black Americans first, too, in the same way. Like you look out for the people that are a part of your specific struggle. And that doesn't mean that you're prejudiced or racist, but it's like, yo, my first priority is my immediate family, then my friends, then my community, then all the Americans. You know what I mean? Like, it's always levels to the shit, man. You know what I mean? There's always levels to it. So I get what you're saying.
When he said that he includes the career, I can see him saying like, that about the Hispanic community. But when
like, if the queen had said, that the queen had said, yo, I'm looking out for women first, we wouldn't even bat an eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they're the most shitted on people ever. So it's like, you know what I mean?
What do you think people that can't speak English get treated?
Okay. I respect that. I respect that there is there's prejudice towards that. I get that, right? You get menial jobs, you get treated a certain way because you're obviously a quote unquote immigrant or whatever. I just don't like the fact that we don't do it all together. Like, I feel like we're on our own. I feel like we're on our own. And Trump, you've been, and we not said that you've been on your Jamaican shit, because you, when we were younger, I didn't know nothing about you being Jamaican. Nothing. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't identify as it, but you and I were just black dudes that went to school together. You know, we were more representing the black American flag at that point. Mm-hmm. And then sometime at some point in your teenage years, late teenage years, you started saying, I'm Jamaican. Which means that you identified with something bigger than we were, or something different than we were, right? And I noticed that separation. I noticed that this was a deliberate thing by you to say, yo, I'm Jamaican. You know what I mean? So when you're saying that now, I kind of put you in the same space as Cisco, where your culture, your nationality comes before the other part. Yeah, I don't know. I feel alienated sometimes by that.
That makes sense. I can understand that, and I can understand why it's hard, because we do have a little bit of culture that we can attach ourselves to. We're not so like gone with the wind with it.
Yeah, we have nothing, right? Exactly.
Yeah, like I get it. Like outside of like,
what about culture? Y'all got so much culture that we still like we.
That's a swag. That's not a culture.
Nah, it's a culture, Dodge. Don't shortchange yourself.
Who's yourself?
This is a culture.
Your black American self.
Culture. Clothing lines by Sean, by Diddy, by Dane. That's right. Culture.
Yeah.
That ain't no Dominican clothing lines popping, bro.
Yeah, I mean, so you can take the hip hop culture. You can have y'all get it. Yeah, that's fine. That's fire.
Y'all got a national board that supports y'all shit. The NAACP is formulated for black folks. We don't got that. In politics, there's no Hispanics representing us like that.
AOC, man.
That's not true. Y'all be all, what about Cruz, the dude that was backing Trump? He's Hispanic.
Oh, boy.
He's Hispanic.
I said AOC. AOC, yeah. She
doing her thing.
Come on, you gotta give that to my girl.
One, yeah.
I mean, listen, it's better than none.
When we're talking about all of these things,
I look at all these. I'm like, damn, son, we don't got none of that. But I'm just looking like, and we ain't vote for none of them either. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you that. Why did Hispanic people vote so big for Trump?
because Cubans who identify as white, who live in Florida, they make up a huge percentage of the Hispanic population. And then the Mexicans who live in Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, who identify American first, they voted hard body. The Dominicans who are not trying to get hit by ICE are not going to be in government grounds putting their name on nothing. Mm-hmm. We ain't voting because we thinking they come to get us.
Damn.
But the ones like me who are American citizens, who we understand, we get how this shit work, we out there. It ain't enough, though. The Cuban Americans with the bread owning half of Miami, shit, they're the ones voting, man.
The situation that happened out in Dyckman. What did you think about the situation that happened out in Dyckman?
Man, that shit was blown over proportion, man. That was just some social media shit that just went further than needed to be, man. But, you know, when there is evidence and when there is a history of issues in the Heights between Dominicans and black folk, you see something like that, you're going to immediately react because it feeds into you what you already think of that area. I get it. I get it.
But the racism in Dyckman is obvious towards black people versus Hispanic people.
Dyckman has a big-ass project, which is like 80% black. Mm-hmm. And you will never hear nothing come out of Dyckman when the blacks and Hispanics. This shit be like, it be happening like maybe once every 5-7 years that some shit happens. But for the most part, day in and day out, fam, we get along. We don't have no problems. We listen to hip-hop. We smoke weed. Like, we just there, man, surviving day at a time. We don't have a problem. That shit that happened was, from what I gather from all the parties, they looked like looters, and they were there to defend whatever was happening that day. Mm-hmm. And
what does a looter look like?
I heard it was a larger story that there were some young black kids that were up in Dyckman, and that they were like fucking with like mom and pop stores. So in that situation, there was like a group of people that saw him or saw that kid, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know what the fuck was going on. So they were just trying to push him off the block so that to protect what was already up there because of some shit that happened earlier. So it was like a big ass misunderstanding.
And for huge. New Yorkers, right. And for New Yorkers, Tom, yeah. Trauma, Daja. We from New York. We represent blocks. When somebody's in your hood that us is unrecognizable, you immediately look at them like, where you from? What you doing here?
Right.
They did the same thing. The only thing is tensions were so high because they just looted and Fordham. So that's hop, skip, and a jump from Dyckman. You could walk to Dyckman from Fordham. So they like, all right, they're on alert. So they see people they don't recognize. They're going at it. But nevertheless, that doesn't take away from what the optics were.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
The optics represented something that has been happening in my community for a while. And it needs to stop, and it's going to stop.
Cisco, let me ask you something, because you say you're part of the community board. So it made me think of this question, right? I saw a post. I'm sure all of y'all have seen a lot of posts with black people talking about support black businesses. And they're even listing businesses. Go ahead and support these businesses, right? So somebody on my timeline, it was very similar to all the other posts, support black business. So a Puerto Rican young lady responded in the comments and said, are Spanish spots on this list, or are we only black when a headcount is needed? Not when it comes to spreading wealth. And that started a whole big conversation. And what are your thoughts is that, like, as far as like Hispanics being counted in the protest movements, but not being counted.
They don't. Like I said, they don't. We're talking about supporting black businesses. He said it himself. He would start with Hispanic and then go Caribbean and then black. We're talking about black businesses right now. Why would we confuse the things with all of that? I don't understand.
I mean, he's saying it in the sense of if we have so many black folks who keep trying to tell Dominicans that they're black, then why don't you count us in black things? Mm-hmm. That's right. What he's saying.
Right. I get that. You want us for the headcount, but not when it comes to spreading wealth, right?
But then the black folks will be like, well, y'all never wanted to be down anyway, so we're not going to count y'all anyway.
About that. It's about creating an economic empowerment movement within the black community that is not there. And the Hispanic community, I can't say whether it's there or not. I'm not even trying to go against that. But this is a particular thing that we're talking about. And Sean, for you who started off with the segmenting and how that does something to the movement, to not be able to understand when we're talking about a deliberate and intentional move for the Black community, it's baffling.
I asked a question in order to get his opinion. It doesn't mean that that I don't understand anything. I just wanted his opinion. I have my own opinion on this, but I wanted to ask Cisco.
When you're talking about Black restaurants, bars, and businesses, keep Hispanics out of it, because again, being Black is not just a race, man. That's a culture. That's a thing. Like when I think of like Black restaurants, there's certain things I'm not thinking about, right? Like I go to a Black restaurant unless I know there's like some sort of tie to some sort of fusion. But technically, if you're talking about a Black restaurant, there's a certain thing you're looking for. But if you tie in an Ecuadorian spot with that or a Venezuelan spot in that, that might not be what people are thinking about when they're thinking about a Black restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes away from what being Black is. It's so much more than just the color. Because you could be light-skinned Black and still be part of this huge thing. And when you start adding Hispanics into that, it just takes away from the whole point of listing all these businesses, Black businesses.
Gotcha. So I guess my broader question, and thank you for answering it, is like, do Dominicans or other Hispanics feel at all left out in the Black Lives Matter movement?
No. Oh, okay. We still see ourselves as third on the scale. We see white first, we see Black second, and we're third. Mm. Depending on who you talk to, Asian might be third. We might be fourth. Mm-hmm. Because we still got ICE, on 175th and Broadway, ready to scoop us up. We don't have an opportunity to think about all these things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we see us like, for those of like me who understand what's going on and why is it important to band together, we look at Black folks as our leaders. Whatever they doing, we doing. Mm-hmm. They gonna fight? Fuck it, we fight. Because we get it. Like, you live in the Heights and the cops arrest you or put guns in your face, they don't care whether you speak Spanish or not. Mm-hmm. They just pulling a gun on somebody that's dark skin, brown skin or whatever. They don't care about none of that other shit. It's just either you a thug, a drug dealer, or something's got to be going on with you since you over here, So those that get it are going to be in the front lines with y'all. Because if y'all start doing shit, then that gives us inspiration to start doing shit, fuck shit up. Y'all start fucking shit up, we going to fuck shit up right behind y'all.
Yo, this is a good, great conversation. I don't know if Trom, you have any more questions to ask, but my final thing, that bothered me, what you just said, Cisco. You said that y'all feel like y'all third. I hate the thought of that. I hate the thought that maybe I've contributed to that. I'm not sure if I have. Is that something that you feel comes from the Black community towards Hispanic? Do you feel like there's some sort of pushback?
I was called spick by a Black girl from the projects.
Y'all say nigga more than us.
No, you're right. But
y'all say nigga five times a sentence. Like,
it's true.
The whole nigga thing is a whole thing too, because I'm just like, why are we going so hard for a slur? But that's another thing. That's just me. I don't like the word in general. I'm not really an N-word using type of guy anymore. So I don't understand the whole thing behind that. But nevertheless, again, as I was telling you in the 80s, like when we was coming in, we weren't treated with open arms.
No, yes, agreed. Mm-hmm.
We were disrespected because of our accents. We didn't speak English. Our clothes didn't match. They didn't look right. We had a different smell to us.
And beans.
We smell like adobo. Like all
beans, baby.
Not adobo.
For a lot of folks here, especially Black folk, like, who the fuck is y'all? Y'all look like us, but you have a totally different vibe. And then you bring on all the white people shit that they put on Black folk. I think a lot of that got put on us because they look at us as immigrants, less than. We're American. We speak English. We speak English here. I was told a couple times when I was growing up, we speak English here. You can stop that meat. I meet that shit. And in my head, I'm thinking, I didn't think nothing of it. I can't go to my Dominican dad because he don't know nothing about U.S. politics. So I had to wait until I started hanging out with some people that spoke English all the time to ask them, what the fuck does that mean? And then they broke it down to me. So, I was hit with the bullshit, but that's what a lot of these young kids aren't. They don't have to deal with it. So they don't understand a lot of the stuff that comes, the energy that comes from Dominicans in general. But
you know what it is? They do, in a way. And when I worked at this junior high school in East New York, we had a large Dominican, Spanish-speaking, even Puerto Rican community. But they didn't go to class with the other kids. They had their own class.
Mm-hmm. ESL?
Yes. It was kind of like ESL, but it's because, you know, they don't speak English. So
what's ESL? All the
English second language. Yeah. That's what it stands for.
All the shit you get in English, they translate it for you in Spanish.
In Spanish. And then, like, some days they'll have classes in English to try to force them to learn and acclimate to English. But all of those kids, they only hung out with each other. They only fucked with each other. It was not a lot of mixing and mingling. And for those that aged out of ESL or tested out of ESL, yeah, it was literally like a drag fight to get them into a regular or a standard English class. Or like, I'm in a different network now, so it's a little bit different the way we call things. I forgot what it was called. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's basically a mixed class, right? So to put them in that environment, they would fight with you tooth and nail. Like, there were children that would go in there and they would act like they can't speak English at all just to get put back in that class. So it's still a lot of segregation just in the education system. So that is part of it. And then when you segregate yourself, sometimes you get isolated and you get ostracized. And then you're only speaking Spanish. So then you're getting into it with the black kids like regular kids do, but you only going to speak Spanish to them, because you know that they don't know what you're talking about. So you're going to talk shit and pop shit in Spanish, and the black kids is like, yo, fuck out of here with that meter bullshit. And then it turns back around. And then you also have a lot of kids that are not growing up with their parents that are your age. They still home because their parents that are your age are at work. So who they home with? They home with grandma. They home with uncle that are older, that might be retired, that's not working. So then they hearing all the rest of this other shit. Like, there's literally black kids. I had a Spanish class. Some of them liked me, some of them didn't, but oh well, that's my experience in teaching, because yeah, I'm a hard ass. But one kid, he was cursing me out one day. There was just this one Spanish class that every time they gave them to me, every time their teacher was there, I was fighting. Like, I don't fucking want them, because these little motherfuckers are rude. And he would talk so much shit. And I was really good at speaking Spanish in high school, but it wasn't something that I've practiced through the years. So I would catch little things. Like, I know what you said, stop playing with me. And he would literally, like, one day he said, I hate you, I'm gonna call Trump on you. I said, what? Call Trump on me and do what? Like, he was dead ass serious, but he's like in fucking seventh grade. So he doesn't know what he was like. I'm gonna call Trump on you and he's gonna lock you up. He's gonna lock you up. But he's saying it in Spanish. I'm just like, you little motherfucker. So then one of the black kids, one of the little gangster black kids, he's like, yo, Ms. D, what he said? I was like, he said that he gonna call Trump on me, he gonna lock me up. He was like, yeah, bitch, and I'll call ICE on you. And I'm just like, God damn. That shit just escalated. There's still it's still a lot of segregation. It is a lot of
that shit. That shit. Fuck that.
Yeah, like, but it's not even, but it's still like you hear things from your abuela and your abuelo, and they still talking about these black kids, they this, they that, and then they coming back home, be like, this black kid said such and such and such to me, but you're not gonna tell your grandmother that you was talking shit to the teacher that was his favorite, but you won't tell your grandmother that the little black boy said he gonna call ICE on you, and then your grandmother telling you how to say every curse word in Spanish, then you come back to school and then you say it, and you only say it to your Spanish friend. Like, it's still, that's why there's still issues with this younger generation, because black kids and Spanish kids still have beef in school.
Yeah.
That's my tidbit.
Oh, it's nuts, man.
It is.
Ask on the outro of this convo, What can the Black community and Hispanic community do for our relations to actually feel more bonded, to actually feel, because I've always felt like Hispanic people was my people. Like I loved it. Like I never looked outside of that. I kind of always wanted to be part, like fuck with y'all, you know what I mean? But I don't feel aligned with it. So I'm not sure if you feel that way with the Black community, if your community feels that way with the Black community. What do you guys think we should do for relations with, you know, to actually come together?
I think we need to accept our differences and appreciate our similarities. That's it.
And I would say, I think we need to focus on the common denominator, and we got the same colonizer. And that's why I think the Black Lives Matter movement is so powerful right now, because everybody hates cops. You know what I mean? We can all agree on that. Yeah. We can all agree that cops is going too far. You know what I mean? So whatever the common denominator is, let's focus on that. We're going to have our differences, but, you know, like you said, Cisco, we're a lot alike as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Daj, what do you think? Nothing? You good on it?
I'm good on it.
I appreciate you being here, my brother.
Yeah, this is a great combo.
It was an amazing combo. One of the better combos that we've had in a long time. I think just as far as the education and you just being such an insightful brother on all ends. I'm so glad that we invited you on the show today. But I want to talk shit about bitches and hoes. So. So I'm going to move forward. Sis, you can stay. You can dip off. Tell us your handles. A lot of people are going to want to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on everything. It's Cisco 212, Sysko 212. That's pretty much it, man. I also have a podcast called The Commission Show with Sean Malcolm and my homegirl V. If you guys ever remember Beauty Bar on VH1?
Mm-hmm.
He was the
one. I saw one or two episodes. Yeah.
Yo, Sean Malcolm is the homie. That's what's up.
Yeah, so actually we have a show that we did on Zoom in March or April that we're going to put out. But yeah, check that out. It's on Spotify, iTunes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm going to stick around. I think y'all are dope as shit. So.
Yeah,
thank you.
We got okay. What do I want to do? What do I want to do? I have a bunch of, you know, this podcast is so fun, man. I'm a piece of shit. I want y'all to know. I talk so much shit about so many people. I am. I do. I talk about everybody. So fuck it. If you fuck with me, you know, I'll fuck around talk about you on my podcast. But I've had a bunch of little situations that have happened in the last week or two that make me question my sanity. Seriously. It's funny because I was talking to Dodge about this one situation and I was talking to somebody about this one situation that I was going through it with. And I said, you got to talk to me like a 2-year-old. My co-host says that all the time because I don't understand what your problem is right now. So please explain to me what I did wrong. I'm going to tell y'all the story.
That's so funny. It just sidebar, because Cam did that, because Cam is the same way. And I was explaining some shit to her. She was like, say it again as if I was 5. So I explained it again. And she was like, say it again, but send me pictures because I'm still not understanding. And I'm like, bitch.
So I started talking to this young lady, maybe let's just say a Wednesday, right? We had a really good conversation. It spawned throughout the day. It was a good conversation. The next day, I happened to be on Twitter, and I see a tweet that says, damn, he tastes amazing. I was like, exactly. I was like, because I'm at work. So... was this girl just sucking dick just now and just tweeted this shit out? That she was sucking dick? So I like this shit. Like, just so you know, I seen that you out here sucking dick on the timeline. It's great. she responds to my like, fuck. Like, damn. You know what I mean? I hit her with the thumbs up. Great job. Right? She immediately jumps in my texts and is like, yo, please forgive me, and sends me a nude.
This escalated quite quickly.
I was like, there's nothing to forgive. You could do whatever you want. I don't care. You know? And she was like, you know, well, how are you? What's up with you today? And I'm like, wait, you still care about me? You was just sucking dick? That's so nice. I said, that's sweet.
Oh my God.
She's like, wait a minute. Don't you have a shorty? Who are you? Why is you worried about what I'm doing? Like, what are you trying to say right now? I'm like, I don't know why you worried about, I'm just responding to the fact that you was just sucking dick. I don't think I should be allowed to be shocked that you just put that out there for people to see, like, or like, you know, I follow you. Am I wrong in any of this, you guys? What are y'all responses to any of this? What do y'all think?
Why are you so petty?
Anybody would do that. You wouldn't do that? If a nigga that you just started talking to yesterday.
No.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I was just eating pussy just now. You wouldn't be like, oh, okay, I know the type of time you want. Thanks. You wouldn't say that? If he tried to holler at you.
If we just started talking, I'm not assuming that because me and you just started talking on Monday that everybody that you had that you was fucking with before is, they just disappeared, fucking, like, evaporated.
I feel like you're
if
not
it was like a, if it was like a couple of weeks, maybe. But you said just
yesterday.
I'm not tripping. I'm not tripping off of.
But
not,
I didn't trip. Like, am I tripping?
But no, saying, liking it is passive aggressive. Like it's it. Like.
No, him liking it is like, yo, I peeped that, shorty. I peeped it.
She tweeted it.
But I personally peeped it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So
that's banana.
I like that. But I'm sure, well, here's the thing, Tahoe. Would there be anything on your timeline that she would look at and be like, oh, this nigga?
I don't tweet about my personal dealings, but I do have a whole podcast where I talk about all the sex that I have with other people. So,
right.
Like, that's a whole nother thing. But at the end of the day, I don't think that I'm wrong for noticing. I don't think that I'm wrong for letting her know that I noticed. I didn't think I said anything that was disparaging. It's more like, oh. So are we going to talk about what you're up to now? Like, you have a nigga? Are you out? Like, what's going on? Like, me and you talking, this is not something that I'm not going to, because obviously, you know, I have somebody, so I don't know what's going on. Is this your nigga? Are you just a dick sucker? Like, what?
Are you just a dick sucker?
Yeah, do you just go around sucking dick? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. This is a conversation opener.
It's a little bug out. If she knows she's talking to other niggas and other people are seeing this, like, why are you just, it just seems, yeah, it's a little strange that you're just openly saying, hey, I just sucked dick, but it wasn't yours, even though me and you was talking. You know what I mean? That's a little.
This is like, all right, so now I know there's a different way to move with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, say if I come open on, like, hey, this is who I am. I'm a whore. I fuck mad bitches. You want to be one of them? Like, you have an open choice to say whether you do or don't. If I'm talking to you and you just on some regular shit and you're saying shit like, you know, God, and she said this to me. She was like, guys always think about sex with me, you know, this and that and the other. I'm thinking you one way. You know, I'm patterning the way I move with you on how you present yourself.
Right.
And then the very next day, you're on the timeline like, yeah, I just swallowed mad nut. That's going to change the way I move with you.
Honestly.
And you should know why I'm going to change up a little bit.
She needs to be better than that, because you could always get away with anything you tweet if you say it's a song lyric. Like, nah, it was a lyric from a song.
What song, bitch? Fucking song.
My friend got a solo album. She got an EP. I was listening to her shit. Fuck out of here.
So be that. Be pussy like you say niggas are.
Yeah, bitch. Be pussy. Or stand in your shit, because what the fuck she got mad for? Because you noticed. Like, hey, so
I felt like
the dick you sucked last night.
Yeah. Not last night. Right now. It was 3 in the afternoon. People don't just suck dick at 3 o'clock. Who
Who the fuck is sucking dick at 3 o'clock? I don't really want to know. I did. What is this? What's going on here? I think I have every right.
Is it more of a like you wondering why she wasn't sucking your dick at 3 o'clock?
No. Because I didn't doubt that she wanted to fuck with me. Like if you're even giving me the time of day, you've already thought that you might possibly give me some pussy. Like you're not just gonna be conversing unless you're that bored. You know what I mean? On all day and all that. Well, every bored bitch I fuck. If they was talking to me, unless shit went wrong, it went right. Okay. So I'm allowed to notice you're sucking dick and talking about it on Twitter. Like, it's one thing if you're doing your own thing, but if you're going to talk about it in front of millions of people, because that shit went viral. It could be thousands. It could be tens of thousands of people that can notice this.
But you talking about it
in the moment. Yourself to the world, huh?
You a petty nigga. I don't care. Petty.
Well, so after she came over, we was talking. No, I'm straight. No, because yo, the thing is that after we had that and she was barking at me, and I'm like, Mom, I think I'm allowed to notice that you were sucking dick. I think I'm allowed to be shocked if my mom tweeted she was sucking dick, if my homegirl tweeted she was sucking dick, if my homeboy tweeted he was sucking dick. I'm a notice and I'm allowed to be shocked that this is what you're putting out there, right? And she's like, yeah, but I don't know what you worried about who dick I'm sucking, because I'm still gonna fuck you. It don't matter. I'm still sending you moves. I'm still talking to you. So why are you worried about whose dick I'm sucking over here
when you got your own
thing going on? And that's what I heard you, ma.
Heard you.
Like, wow. So
I appreciate. Was it a good quality nude that she sent?
Her ass wild fashion. No way I'm not like, and if you just enjoy sucking dick that much, like, why would I pass it up? Shit.
Nasty.
Send that.
You motherfucker. Y'all niggas are filthy.
I'm filthy. I don't know about all men, but I will take accountability for my own actions. I am definitely a filthy motherfucker.
Like, okay. Also, you sucking dick. Okay.
Oh, you out here. Like, this is in your bio.
Not in the bio.
I'm out here sucking dick. Established 1981.
Wow. All right, okay. Heard
so
you.
That's that situation. And then we go to another situation. Mm-mm-mm. No, so everybody that's out there saying, yo, this nigga's all over. Listen, yes, I'm a piece of shit. I don't care. I'm living my fucking life. You live yours. Congratulations, you ain't me. Right? I'm talking to this one. You know, you have I don't know if you guys are on Instagram and you DM a lot or whatever. People send you messages. So, you know, I have a lot of content that I post on my Instagram in my stories. So people comment all the time. Over the course of that time, you kind of get used to talking to people. You know what I mean? You might not know them. You might not know where they're from, but you get used to talking to people. This one young lady, she's on the other side of the world. She and I are talking more and more in the last week, right? Maybe 2, 3, 4 days. I don't think this is this week. This might have been last week. And she posts some shit on her page with other women or another girl and added the girl. I saw the chick. She looked nice. I followed her. When I followed her, I sent Shorty a message. Yo, I just followed your homegirl. I don't want you to. I just think because she looked nice. I ain't going to try to. I said something like, I'm not into her, no shit like that. But I like having nice looking people on my timeline. But I don't want you to think I'm being a creep by following, you know, by following her. She was like, no, it's cool. But you definitely friend zone now because you obviously like my friend. Hmm? I was like, I know me and you have a rapport. I don't even find like it's. I just like nice pictures. Like I gotta have a whole. Like I can't follow your homegirl without you thinking that I'm trying to fuck her. Am I wrong in this situation, Cisco? You can jump in. Cisco's looking like what? If you feel like if you feel the need to jump in, you can. I appreciate you putting your phone on mute, but if you feel like you need to jump in, you can. Tron, what do you think?
I think that because, well, here's the thing, two things, right? One, you're following her because she's attractive.
Yeah.
Not because she's a photographer and you like her pictures. You know what I mean? Like, so I could see her feeling a ways. And also because it's you. because it's Tahoe, and you just said, you claimed it, I'm a piece of shit, you know what I mean? And you're fucking everything. So she's like, all right, this nigga's wild aggressive, he's fucking everything, and he followed my homegirl that he thinks is attractive.
She might and also sent you a message about it to let you know. So that's not in the, that's not in the.
So I'm letting you know that I like your homegirl. That doesn't make it
I don't like her though.
Uncomfortable. You're attracted to her.
No, I'm not. She's good looking. Just because she's good looking don't mean I'm attracted to her.
I'm just giving you my interpretation of what she's thinking. I'm not saying that that's what you said. You know what I mean? Her interpretation is probably like you following her because you like nice looking people on your timeline. So you're basically saying you're attracted to her.
That's weird. Like, what? So you can't just follow people that you think look good? Like, isn't that the whole point of social media? Just to follow people that you think look good? Because I'm not going to follow a bunch of ugly people. If I see ugly people all the time, if I don't have a rapport with you, I'm not going to follow you. But the people that I follow that I don't know, it's literally because I like looking at them. That doesn't mean I'm going to slide in their DMs. It just means that there's another pretty face on my timeline.
I like that shit. I like nice looking shit. I like
now, if you would have slid in the girl DMs, then I could understand like
exactly.
Outrage. But you just mad just because of a simple follow?
I felt that it was an insecure notion that you're worried about somebody else taking the light off of you. To me, that was like, ma, you supposed to feel like you that bitch. Then the fact is that we already have a rapport. Why are you worried about somebody else immediately being able to come in and stop that? That's how I felt. She hasn't treated me no different. We obviously still talk, whatever, whatever. But, you know, so maybe that was just her fucking with me at the time. But I don't know, Tron.
You don't think that you could come off somewhat like a creep? she posted a picture. She tagged her homegirl in it. And then you went and did the knowledge to click on the shit and hit follow.
It don't take shit to follow a bitch.
I'm just saying. It could be it could be some creep shit.
Honestly, if I was you, I wouldn't have told her. Y'all be telling people too much shit. Like,
she would have seen it. She would have seen it. Followed by Tahoe TV. Nobody to me and her know each other. Like, why are you following my homegirl?
I saw her on my Explore page.
Nah, that's a lie. That's an easy lie.
Now lie.
What do you think, man?
I just don't understand why. I don't understand why you have to explain so many intricate.
Because as a black man, y'all already look at us as creeps anyway. Y'all already look at us as creeps anyway. So I'm trying to be a stand-up nigga.
Touche, my nigga. Touche.
What do you think, sis?
Yo, that's a lot, man.
This is looking at the screen like, yo, I can't. We just went from this serious conversation, and now you're talking about getting your dick sucked at 3 a.m.
I just learned the other day that a bunch of likes means. To holler. I have no idea what's going on.
If I like more than four of your pictures in 1 minute, that gives you like that you can slide in my DMs.
But how does that who came up with that? Like, I don't know what niggas, how did that start?
People? No, that's a woman thing. Because niggas go and like and say some shit on a pic from 2 years ago. We aggressive. We don't just start liking and think that you're gonna know. We already know that you like that.
Or if you follow somebody, right? That you didn't really know, and they like four of your pictures in like a minute, and then you go like four of their pictures back in a minute. That means that the both of y'all think that each other look good, so that somebody could slide in somebody's DMs.
So to Charm's point, right? Because Charm, you always got the one liners, and they're great. But when I post my people on my social media page, and I put their at, it's because I want my
people
other
to follow
people
them.
To follow them.
Exactly.
That's the whole reason that I put there at. It's because I want other people to follow them. You're not my shorty. We're talking. And I'm just viewing you. I'm giving you, like, I don't have your number. We're still DMing. I'm just giving you the courtesy of letting you know that so that you don't think that I went and did some creep shit. But I still look like I'm doing some creep shit anyway.
Because you told on yourself because you told her that you following her because she looks good.
Yeah, I did.
So you told on yourself.
No, because I was being honest. What am I telling you? You're using that to validate attraction. Like, I want her. I don't want her. There's nothing wrong with her, but I'm talking to you. I don't want your home girl. I don't understand that move. And then with women saying, don't follow my friends, a lot of the prettiest women in the world were agreeing with Shorty, right? I spoke about this on my live. I spoke about this on Twitter. And a lot of the prettiest women in the world were agreeing, you know, the club pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Club pretty, that the you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that says
a lot about who they are.
Mm-hmm. These other bitches got the exact same shit you got.
Mm-hmm.
Big titties, the curvy waist, the big butt, the Chanel bag, the shoes. So you don't want to be compared. To me, that seems like an insecure thing. If I post trauma on my page, I want all my followers to go follow the nigga.
Yeah.
If I post Dodge, I want all, even like you telling me that if my shorty goes and follows Strom, I'm going to think that she feels a way, that she finds him like she's trying to talk to him?
No.
Even if he says he's attractive? Even if he says she's attractive? Even if I put, yo, like I'm supposed to feel a way about that? I don't know. I don't
know. Like, I don't understand. Like, the same. Like, I have certain friends that I would post on my page that I won't tag just because I don't want nobody to follow them. Like, don't be thirsting in my friends' DMs because I know the type of niggas that I know. So sometimes I will post a bitch and I won't tag her at all. And then sometimes I'll post and I will tag. I don't understand.
That's
not the whole point of social media.
You posted her at.
Yeah, I think that people, insecurity runs deep with people. And I am trying my absolute damnedest to break myself out of that. And I'm also trying my damnedest to break myself out of the notion that people own people. Like, you feel like once you talk to somebody, you own them. Like, you own who they could talk to, who they can't talk to, what they could do, what they can't do. Like, it's weird. And it's not like a overt possession. It's a subliminal possession. Like, that's a subliminal possession. Like, just because me and you talk and I followed your friend because I like your friend's face, you're not okay with that. That's a subliminal possession. Like, I'm an adult. I can follow who the fuck I want to follow. I'm not going to disrespect you because I have respect for you. Yeah. So why is this an issue?
Hey, maybe she's insecure and she's admitting that she's insecure. Like, hey, I can't handle it. Like,
Trump, would you feel away?
Huh?
Would you feel away if a chick that you just started talking to last week followed me and said, oh, your friend's attractive. I just like having good look. Or he's funny. Well, I guess funny isn't the same as
attractive. Yeah, funny is not the same.
Well, funny gives me more pussy than attractive.
But
funny gives me way more pussy than attractive.
I'm not saying that I would stop fucking with her, but I would look, I might look differently. Like, all right, that's a little weird. Like, it's too soon for you to be following my friends for that reason. Like, that's a little too close.
Even if he say, yo, even if he say, yo, she say, I'm not interested. I kind of get your point.
It's just a little weird. It's just a little weird, a little unnecessary.
I can't follow people that, you know, that look good and say anything about it.
I think that it's the honesty of it, because some people are just not ready for that level of honesty. Like, just to be able to tell somebody blatantly, like, yo, your friend is attractive. That's why I follow them. I don't want to fuck with them. I'm not going to pursue it. I just think your friend looks good. And I just like good looking people. That's a lot of honesty.
That's too much honesty.
That's what I'm saying. Stop too telling much. People every fucking thing.
Too much, too early.
I can't. I just have to be myself, and I live and die on that hill. Fuck it.
Okay, that's fucking
then. I'm starting to agree with y'all, though. Follow somebody because they're attractive, that's a lot. For if you're trying to talk to me and you're saying it to me, and it's awkward. It's just like, what? The fuck.
That's what I'm saying. What the fuck you tell her for in the first place? You should. I would do the same
again. I would do the same again if I followed her, but I just wouldn't follow her friend, I think, because it's just not that serious.
How you know it's her friend?
It's her cousin. She told me.
They close. Yeah. You gotta hear both sides.
If you really want to do it right, you just don't follow her, but you just check her page every now and again.
That's creepy. That's creepy.
It's creepy.
All right.
Creepy.
So you want to hear? So I recently just followed some dude, right? He's in a picture on vacation with two other niggas. One of the other niggas is a nigga that I used to talk to that's in a picture with him. And I was like, oh, who's this fine nigga? So I just follow him. I follow him and I go look at his pictures. Like, of his last 15 pictures, three of those pictures got pictures that he took with niggas I used to fuck with. But I didn't unfollow him. Is that weird? I didn't slide in his DMs or nothing, but I did not unfollow him because I think that he still looks mad good. But now I know I can't even, I couldn't even slide in if I wanted to slide in, because I looked at this man's page and I saw three niggas.
This is amazing that you brought this up. I was not expecting you to bring this up. But this goes to my third of my four scenarios.
Really?
I want to know.
Similar lives.
No, it's not that, because it's not really a scenario. It's just a question, right? I want to know. If you start talking to somebody and you know that they've been talking to somebody else, or you know they have a girl, or you know they have a man, or you know that you fuck their friends, or whatever. Mm-hmm. At the point that you realize that these things exist in y'all, whatever, circumference, mm-hmm. why are you still fucking with them? Why does the person who fucks with the person that knows they have some other situation still fuck with them? What is that about?
Several things. It can be, it's levels to it, right? Because I can sleep with somebody that I know has a situation and not really care, because not because I want to be with you, but it was just a lusty thing. Like, I decided that I wanted to have sex with you, so I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to allow you to continue doing whatever it is that you're doing. Or it could be a situation in which you see somebody.
People get really attached.
Or it could be a situation where you see somebody and you understand that they have a situation, but you don't care. Maybe in your mind, you think that you better. Maybe in your mind, you think that you can take them away from their situation. Some sick shit, but whatever. Like, I've been the person that if you're in a situation and if I really, really want to fuck with you, I'm going to respect your situation. So I'm not going to require too much. I'm just probably just going to fuck you and leave you. Oh, well.
In my experience, how I feel is directly in correlation with what I got going on. Like, if I got a shorty and I find out that you got a dude, I'm like, oh, great, perfect. It's a perfect match. You know what I mean? We lit. You know what I mean? So that makes more sense for me.
I notice a lot of women find themselves in situations with dudes that have somebody, and they find they're like, they be hurt over it in the long run. And I wonder, what exactly were you looking for from this situation the whole time?
That's a mental illness.
Like, you continuously mess with this person knowing that they was doing something else, and they were honest about it to you, so they don't owe you anything else. But what were you thinking?
Where were you thinking?
You know it wasn't about sex. You know you were interested in them. It's like, you know that you can't go nowhere with them. So what exactly is pushing it? You had a lot of points that you made, Dodge, and I agree, those points all kind of make sense, but there's like some kind of insanity there for me.
I said it's a mental illness.
Right?
It's like, yeah, you a sick bitch if you think that you're gonna develop a relationship with somebody that's already in a situation and then find yourself getting hurt by it. But it's interesting. Damn, I don't want to tell nobody business, but it's interesting because I had two friends that was trying to fuck with each other. Mm-hmm. And one of them...
It's not about me, right?
No, this is not about you. Whew. I know, it's so similar, right?
Finally.
One of them was in a relationship, but they had been talking on and off for some time. And I specifically told this one friend, my female friend, I said, do not have sex with him. And I said, and if you do have sex with him, do not take that nigga seriously. You play with him. You sit there, you have fun, you fuck him, and then you leave him. Do not catch feelings. If you feel like you can't handle that, don't do it. But of course, none of my friends ever listened to me. And everybody just went and did what the fuck they wanted to do anyway. And then he did something. And she was upset. And she was in her feelings. And I'm just like, hey, friend. I told you to have sex with that man, but I told you do not take that man seriously. You decided to take that man seriously. You knew that this man had a situation, a relationship, or whatever the case may be. Why are you doing that? And why are you calling me with it? I don't give a fuck what that nigga said to you. But he said she questioned him about another female, and she felt like they had that rapport. And his response was, you're not my girl. Don't question me about other women. So she was upset and she felt disrespected. And I was like, can you really? Is he wrong? Did he say anything wrong? Or did you do the opposite of what I told you to do, what you caught feeling? So now you feel some type of way because he reiterated something that was already known. So what are you mad at him for? Like, we're not going to sit here on the phone and be like, fuck him, niggas ain't shit, because that doesn't count for here, because I told you not to catch feelings.
Is that really a realistic point of view, though?
From me or from her?
Everybody's not you, Dodge. And I noticed that a lot of times you talk about these situations from your point of view,
yeah,
which you have to, but you're a cold motherfucker.
I'm not a cold motherfucker. I'm a realistic motherfucker. So I know that there are people here for a reason and a season. I understand that. And I'm not going to conflate things. And some people don't know how to separate their emotions like that. Some people don't know how to turn off. I know how to turn off because I never really turned on. So I know when I'm walking into a situation sometimes, like, I'm not going to give this situation 150% because I'm mad sensitive. I'm mad emotional. I can't do it. So I'm going to be shut off the whole time. I will sleep with you, though, because that's what I came here for. I will speak to you because I might like having conversations with you, but I cannot invest my emotions into somebody that I know that is unavailable. That is a mental illness.
Sorry. I think there are some people that are either attracted to what they can't have, or they
mental
just
illness.
Have a habit of making bad decisions. And it's just something about them. They just put themselves into bad situations. And it's like just something about that person that they just find themselves in a pickle all the time. Like, I don't know.
Not a pickle. Not a pickle.
Sometimes it's a pickle.
Yeah, so that was one of my things. I have another. It's more of a story. And it's because I don't understand. I saw a post today, and the post said something along the lines of all women are either, how did it go? Every girl is bi. You just got to figure out if it's polar or sexual.
Who said that, Kaz?
Some guy.
Sound like some stupid shit he'd say.
I thought it was a poignant.
Come on, poignant.
Comment. Because women are increasingly, incredibly crazy.
And men not.
I was dealing with a young lady maybe 3 years ago. It was cool. Great. She left town. We stopped talking. We ain't even follow each other no more. She hits me. Now, you know, Airbnb, I had 2 Airbnbs in my house. So Airbnb, as soon as COVID hit, all my Airbnb guests shut the fuck down. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a fucking, what was it, Trom? You was getting the cancellations too, right?
Like, yeah, I got a cancellation yesterday. Like, it's still coming.
They said, like, back to back to back to back, cancel, cancel, cancel. We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Now, I obviously had to understand that COVID, there's nothing you could do about it. People is coming from Europe. People is coming from, you know, all these different countries that can't get to America. It's not their fault, right? So I had to deal with it, but being that I try to hustle as much as I can, I had to think about other ways to make money with these Airbnbs. I was thinking about getting nurses to come because a lot of nurses were looking for, you know, traveling nurses were trying to come and work in New York. Mm-hmm. Happens to be that the young lady that I was messing with 2-3 years ago was a traveling nurse. She hits me and she's like, yo, I want to come to New York. And I'm like, oh shit, I got an Airbnb. You should think about staying here. She was like, well, how much is it? Now, my nightly rates for my Airbnb would have been astronomical. There's no way that she would have been able to afford that. So I lowered the price, but it was still too much. She was like, what? That much? Can we work something out? Maybe I give you some rent and you could fuck. Like, I'm like, and I was very clear. I said,
barter.
Yeah, I said, Ma, I can't pay my rent. I can't pay my mortgage with pussy. I was very clear, right? I could tell she was turned off by that statement. You know, women don't like money. Yo, anytime you throw a money situation comes around a woman, if she ain't got it, even if she got it, they be adamant. Like, I got it. Hey, you got to do it like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she started acting a little weird. I didn't hear for about 2 weeks, a week, 2 weeks. I wind up hitting her again, like, yo, what's up? You still coming? She's like, yeah, whatever. She winds up taking the crib. Mm-hmm. I lowered the price, right? 2 weeks pass, nigga, you got to lower the price. You ain't getting no mortgage, you got to be paid. Hey, what about this? She's like, all right, I'll take that. When she gets here, we're around each other, you know, help her move in, you know, being a nice landlord. And I went to collect on the debt. I backed homie out. Oh, it's good. Yo, that's how I move. Me and her have already been having sex. This is not new. We've already been having sex. I'm going to move with you like we already have been here before. Hey, you're back. Oh, let's get to it. Guys, that rent got to be paid. I take all payment up front. I don't want to wait to the end of the month.
Oh, my fucking God.
I take mine on the 1st, not the 30th.
So what is your problem?
She was like, so she looked, she was like, oh, nah. Right? Nah, I don't really feel good, whatever, whatever. I was like, all right, my bad. Put homie back in his pocket. Things were kind of tense the next few days. So I'm like, I asked her, like, yo, what's going on? Why are you acting funny? She was like, I ain't like how you backed your man out on me the other day. I'm the type of girl that needs to be wined and dined and courted. And I'm like, but you're the person who offered the pussy. We've already been having sex. You offered the pussy. You threw the pussy in the ring. I'm supposed to now, I got a wine and dine a pussy that you threw? That doesn't make no sense to me. Like, if you know this is part of your lease, like, I should have to take you to dinner for it. I was like, look, honestly, and I'm going to keep it real. I'm saying all this to y'all, but when she said it, I felt like a piece of shit. I felt predatory. I felt like, yo, that's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you really was turned off like that. I didn't think that you would feel that way because you've already sucked my dick mad time. So I didn't think that it was going to be like no big deal. But I was like, listen, I'm aggressive. I am. I said, listen, I want to let you know something. The fact that you're staying in my home means that I feel responsible for your care and your well-being and your mental, you know what I mean? Your comfortability. I do not want you thinking that you had to give me some pussy. I thought that was just, you know, and this is what I said. And I said, and I'm actually very sorry that I did that and made you feel that, you know, like you was some type of sex object. I thought that was the type of time we was on, but I realized that you see it differently and I apologize, right? And I said, yo, let's just be friends. I like you as a person. We don't got to do none of that. I honestly felt fucked up that she felt that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I did. Time goes by. And we're talking one day. And something happened where I was like, yeah, you're going to have some nigga in here, you know, wilding out in that pussy. Right? And she was like, that nigga going to be you. And I was like, no, it's not. We're friends. Like, I'm not hitting that. And she was like, all right. I go about my business slowly but surely. She starts sending me the, hey, are you up? 1 a.m. Shit like that. You know what I mean? Things happen. We had sex.
Yo, I hate this fucking story. I hate this story so fucking bad. This shit is pissing me off. I hate this story and everybody involved. That's all I'm gonna say. And don't ask me shit about this.
It'd be one in the morning. Like, what? Was 1 a.m?
Listen, what? Bad decisions make the best stories. I love this story.
Yo.
So I'm like, you know, I smashed, but she's like, yo, you know, you're not gonna go down on me. Y'all know how I feel about going down on women. I'm just fucking. I gotta really want to. I'm not eating everybody pussy. I'm just not. I'm sorry. I'm just not eating everybody pussy. And if a woman that I deal with feel a way that I'm not eating everybody pussy, you don't have to fuck with me. I'm totally cool with that. Not every nigga out here getting their dick sucked. Some niggas is just eating pussy and not fucking. Everybody have their preferences to how they want to move. It can't just be good for women and not be cool for men. I can say, yo, I don't want to eat no pussy right now. I'm cool with that. She didn't feel that. She felt like, I'm a bad bitch. You're going to eat this box. I'm like, no, I'm not. So we had sex maybe one or two times. I get a text from her. Hey, can we talk? I go down. We talk. And she says, I don't really feel comfortable paying rent if I'm fucking.
Oh, it's worse and worse. Make it stop. Make it fucking stop.
My nigga, I'm like,
got it.
Yo, I want to. Let's go back to the original where I said every girl is bi. You just got to figure out if it's polar or sexual. I'm like, you offered to pay rent and have sex. And I turned it down. I told you I had to pay my mortgage. Then you came here. We had an issue. And I said, let's not have sex. Let's just be friends. And you said, no, I am going to fuck you. I'm waiting for you to take this pussy. It took you some time. You got it. And now you're telling me that you don't feel comfortable with the situation that you created twice? I said, Ma, listen here. I want to tell you something. I need to pay my mortgage. I don't know what you're thinking. What is your plan right here with this conversation? And she's basically like, I don't want to have sex no more. It came down to the fact that I wasn't eating the pussy. Right? She said she don't feel appreciated. I'm just fucking her. She don't feel appreciated. She don't feel like I really like her like that if I'm just fucking her. So that's what that was really all about. Fine. I was cool with that. Cisco is disgusted. Yo, Cisco is disgusted. Y'all looking at his face while we're talking. Cisco is like, yuck. The trash you deal with. Is this your life? This is how you are here living? It's your big age? Yes. But it comes to mad ammo. Yo, me and Cisco going back and forth with the timeline all the time. So I'm giving mad ammo. What are you thinking, bro? There's more to the story.
Oh, you got a good life on you. That's a whole lot, man.
This isn't a week, bro.
A whole lot, bro.
Now, we stopped dealing. Time passes. It's been months. So all of this was happening in the first month, right? So it's been months. She comes to me and she says, I hope Dodge can hear me because it gets better.
Oh, my God.
Son. And that's why I say, yo, women are crazy. Like crazy, bro. And I think they only like that if you have sex with them. Like even if you haven't had sex with them in a while, like they still gonna, if they remember the dick, they're gonna have a problem with you. They're gonna be crazy. So I don't know. I was kind of trying to stall till Dodge come back, but fine. Y'all can hear me. Time goes by. She's comfortable here in New York. She says, yo, I want to throw a barbecue. Everybody's quarantining. Everybody is social distancing. But she's like, you know, I got a couple friends. We're all nerd. You know, we're all here doing the same thing. Nothing big. And I was like, all right, cool. She was like, but I don't know how to barbecue. Can you do the barbecuing? I'll buy the food and stuff. You barbecue. I'm like, bet. About 2 days before the date, I go out and start cleaning up the backyard for her and whatnot. Just as, you know, on some friendship. Just on some, I'm the man. In of the house, this is my crib. I rented you my backyard. I'm telling you that I'm allowing you to do it. I'm not going to have your friends coming here and it's weeds growing everywhere and leaves from the winter in the back. You know, I start packing this thing up. I go to the grill. The grill is fucked up. The bottom of the grill got like an aluminum foil pan holding it together. Like that's what you put the charcoal in, an aluminum foil pan under the grill. It's like this shit was fucked up. I threw this shit out. And I went to Home Depot and bought another grill. I put the whole shit together and was ready to go. The day of the barbecue, I'm like, what do you have to grill? She has hot dogs, hamburgers, and wingettes for a barbecue. Wingettes. I said, who did you invite? She said, just my homegirls. I said, you're going to feed your homegirls hot dogs? Now, I haven't invited anybody, but I'm like, you're going to feed your homegirls hot dogs and wingettes off a grill? Nah. I go, take my ass. I say, yo, women need sexy. Like, that's the type of energy you want to give. You want to give sexy. You want to have shish kebabs. You want to have salmon. You want to have things that women like to eat that's just off the grill. You don't give nobody a fucking hamburger. What are we, five? Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I took my black ass down the block because this is my crib. I'm out here. And I like sexy shit. And I like, you know, I just like sexy shit. I'm not going to be part of some not sexy shit. So I went, I bought salmon for everybody. I bought chicken for everybody. I bought steak. I bought shish kebabs. You know what I mean? And I come back and I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. We out there, me and her. It's 3, 4, 5. It's me and her. 6. There's nobody else back there but me and her. Trom and his homeboys happen to be walking past the crib. Dodge sees the shit on the internet. Maybe I might have told you, yo, I'm, you know, something might be going on, whatever. But Dodge wind up pulling up. Trom and his homeboys pulled up. So now it's Trom and his homeboys and my other homeboys. I'm sorry, I keep saying his homeboys. My other homeboys, Dodge is there, and Shorty. We didn't eat all the food. Maybe 2 or 3 of her friends showed up later on or whatever, but we didn't eat all the food. We put the food in the refrigerator, in her refrigerator. For the next day or two, how long do y'all eat barbecue food? I will eat that shit, son. I ain't gonna hold you.
4 or 5, however long it lasts.
Until it's gone, it's barbecue. That shit been fried up. That shit is good. It's in the refrigerator. It's good.
Right.
Macaroni salad, I might, after 2 days, it's gone. But the rest, until that shit gone, until it's the burnt up pieces, I'm eating that shit. Now, I'm talking about steak. I'm talking about salmon. I'm talking about all types of good fucking food, bro.
That jerk salmon was fire.
Shit was fire, right?
You I come did home good.
From work maybe 2 days later, maybe 3 days. I come home from work, refrigerator empty, bro. The refrigerator is empty, bro. She threw all the food out. I call her. Now I'm talking about, we still got steaks. Steaks. I bought enough for a barbecue. We still got salmon. I bought enough for a barbecue. We still got chicken. I bought enough. And I sat out there and I cooked the whole shit. And you threw it out? You didn't text me. You didn't say nothing. You just threw it out. You didn't pay for it. You just threw it out. I'm a hungry nigga, bro. Like, I responded like a woman that I was angry, bro. Like a fat nigga. I was angry. I was like, why? Because you didn't buy that. You didn't, like, why would you throw my food out? I cooked it. I bought it. What makes you think? Because it's in your refrigerator. You could have just texted me, yo, I got a refrigerator. You could have, yo, you want to take this? Throw it out. I wasn't aggressive because she's my tenant. And we don't have an interpersonal, besides the whatever sex that we had, we don't really have
besides that
relationship. No, not to be like expressing my going full Tahoe on Shorty. I'm not going to go full Tahoe on you. You're my guest in my home. I'm not going to go full Tahoe on you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, all right, no problem. I ain't mean to. I'm so sorry. I'll buy more stuff and you could cook it. I said, Ma, you ain't got to buy nothing. Like, it's fine. I'll get over it. It's fine. I was pissed, but fine. I didn't go crazy on her, but I was pissed, but it was like, fine. You don't got to go buy nothing. Right, I even told her, yo, I'll just go get the shit out the trash. You just put it outside right now? How long has it been there? 5 seconds? Like, how long is it? There's a 5 second rule. How long has it been in the trash? Is it in the bag? Right? She's like, nah, I'm not gonna let you do that. I'm like, nah, you don't have to. And I swear to God, that's what I said. The next day, I get a text from Shorty. Now, remember everything that's going on with us in the past. I really don't even really want to be communicating like that with Shorty. I just want to get my rent and I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm good. Hey, I bought mad food. I seasoned it. It's in the refrigerator. You can cook it when you want. I'm in the midst of doing everything else. Matter of fact, this might be the week that Trom and you and I had the argument. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know what I mean? Like, excuse me. So I'm not really thinking about what she's talking about. And I go about my life. A lot of people may know that I moved her from one apartment to another so that my mother could move back downstairs. I want to give my mother back a house, blah, blah, blah. Fine, whatever. we're cleaning up the kitchen, and every time I walk in the kitchen, I smell something. You know when is this a different odor than you're used to. You know that there's something happening. And you ever been looking for that odor? You don't know if it's some shit on the floor. Or mm-hmm. Maybe it's the garbage can. Or like maybe it's something. Something somewhere isn't right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is 2 weeks after the barbecue, bro. It's 2 weeks. 2 weeks after the barbecue. My mother don't want all this shit in the refrigerator. So we open the refrigerator. I'm starting to take shit out. The smell hits me. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is that? I start going in the pans. There's seasoned ribs. There's seasoned chicken. There's seasoned steak in the refrigerator. Son, the shit was, what's the word for the worst smelling thing in the world? Which one of y'all got a good vocabulary? What'd you say?
Rancid.
Rancid.
My nigga. Too slow.
Like maggots were forming, my nigga. It was just disgusting. Obviously, right, it's not going to form in the refrigerator, but you know, like it was like the sauce, the nasty sauce is coming out of it. It was disgusting. I throw the shit out, and I happened to see her the same day I threw it out. I said, Ma.
I'm sorry.
You left that shit in there? That food in there? How? What food? Like, you left some shit in there. And she's like, oh, yeah, that was the food I told you I bought for it. I seasoned it for you. You didn't cook it. I said, 2 weeks ago? You left that food in there for 2 weeks? She said, yeah, it was yours. You said you was going to cook it, so I just left it. I said, so for the last 2 weeks, you've been eating around that food? Like, you just left it. I haven't talked to you about it. We haven't spoken about it. I made no moves towards it. I don't come down there. And you just left it there? Why? She's like, I don't know. You know, it was yours. I figured you'd do whatever you wanted with it. I said, all right, well, I threw it out. My nigga, guess what she said?
Why'd you throw away?
Why'd you throw away all that food?
Nah, it gets worse. Somebody
Why'd
come
you
with
waste
something
my money?
Are you going to reimburse me?
No way.
So I'm about to have tears in my eyes, bro, because I'm so – because I think I'm a good person, and I don't understand. I'm going to cry. Because I don't understand how, why you would think that I owe you money for the food that you left in there for 2 weeks after you threw my shit out. Why wouldn't you say anything? Why do I have to pay you back for something that you just said was my food? If I didn't eat it, that's on me.
Told her that she didn't have to do all that.
And I told you not to. You went and did it. Now I have to reimburse you? Am I bugging? This is what I want this segment to be called. I want a new segment of So Shameless called Am I Bugging?
That's a good one.
The floor is y'all. Please, somebody tell me what y'all thinking. Because I'm so fucking confused. I didn't pay her back. We hadn't spoken since. Probably gonna quit her job and leave or go live somewhere else. I'm pretty sure any minute now. But it's like,
I have already stated that this story is too much for me.
I need you here. The listeners need you. The listeners need you.
What the fuck, Tahoe? It's just like, it's all over the place.
Wait, before you go in, the baby just woke up, so I gotta go.
We love you.
Yeah, bro. I think mine is sleep.
I want y'all to just keep doing your thing. And Tahoe, you already know you my bro.
Black Lives Matter.
Always. Guys, be safe. Wash your hands.
Hispanic Lives Matter.
Shut up, Tahoe.
I want to include
you. You gotta deal with this shit. I love y'all do it, man.
Thank you so much for coming, Cisco.
King. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
Bye.
We'll talk.
You, Cisco. Appreciate you, man.
Yo, Tahoe, what the fuck? Yo, this story, bro. Like, I don't know what to say.
Like, what did I do? Was I not supposed to be?
I mean, it was aggressive, but I understand the sentiments because it was already a conversation had.
We've already been doing this, and you
I think that you should have never beat after that situation. I feel like some people are fucking unstable, and you get all of the signs of mental instability, but you still decided to push on forward and to continue to confuse a very simple situation. You're a tenant. You're here for a good time, not a long time. You're here. I'm here. We're not going to conflate these things. Like, none of these things needed to be interchangeable like that. You want to throw a barbecue? Okay. If she wanted to feed her friends fucking hot dogs and burgers, you should have let her feed her friends hot dogs and burgers. Like, I understand why you went above and beyond, because that is your nature, and I thoroughly appreciate it, because that steak, chicken, and salmon was mad good.
Mad good.
But her throwing the food away, that is very weird, especially with no level of consideration for the person that made it. Once you said that you weren't going, that she didn't need to buy more food, it's just like, it's such like a confusion that was so unnecessary. And it all began when y'all started fucking.
No, it started in fucking the beginning when you offered the box with the rent.
I mean, that was very strange. That was very crackheadish. Like, I got these cheeseburgers, I'll suck your dick. Like, it was a lot of that. And I don't like that shit. Yeah, you gotta understand that niggas is wild, unstable, bro. Like, stop fucking crazy bitches. Like, that shit is weird.
All women are crazy.
Not that crazy.
But Tahoe, you said it yourself. All women are crazy when you're fucking them, or you have fucked them. So you gotta take some responsibility in that for bringing out her crazy.
Do you guys notice that this nigga's an op now? Like, I can't say nothing without him finding a way to throw me under the bus.
Hey,
like,
man. I just call it how I see it, man. It don't matter whether it's you or Dodge or whoever. I call it how I see it. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, so now you want to talk about people's mothers.
But Tahoe, but besides that part, I do think that she's mad petty. And I don't know what her sign is, but I think that her leaving the shit in the refrigerator and not throwing it out is a direct response to, okay, last time I threw it out, it was a problem. I'm going to leave this shit right here for your ass, nigga. She knew the shit stunk. And the fact that it probably bothered her and she left it anyway just to prove a point, it's some petty shit. That's just part of who she is.
Yo, you're so insightful. I never
thought about that. Sick, bro.
I never thought about that. And this happened weeks ago. And I never thought
that. I definitely thought about that too. Like, she was like, oh, because
I had a problem.
Bet you won't yell at me now. Yeah. I ain't throw this shit out this time.
I ain't throwing out nothing.
Right here. This shit will stay right here. You throw it out, nigga.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all people? That this is a thing. Like, you... Like, literally, we've moved on. We've conversed. We've had conversations. We're good about everything that's happened in the past. We're fine. I'm sitting here doing you a favor. I'm cooking for you. People, I done bought you a fucking grill, bought the food, even brought people to your barbecue. You ain't had nobody here. And now we're still dealing with this aggression from whatever? Yo, oh, man.
Because there's still, she's probably petty anyway, but then you add the sexual tension to it.
Sorry.
It's just another thing.
Okay. This is the end of the podcast. We've had a great time today. What?
Who are you looking at?
Who? Right now?
Who you was just looking at?
The floor. What are you talking about? I was looking at the
fucking
floor.
Liar.
I wasn't looking at the floor. I mean, what are we talking about? Listeners don't have no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because we're not putting this video up. Don't worry, I'll text it to you.
I have no idea. I was looking at the floor. You think I'm scared to say I got somebody here?
A phone rang and you looked up and I said, who the fuck are you looking at?
Oh, no, that was my phone. My phone was ringing on the computer.
Oh.
So ever since I attached the damn phone to the computer, I must have been charging it. I don't know what the fuck happened. Mm-hmm. But now every time my phone rings, the computer rings and text messages come to my
yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I want to turn this shit off, but I don't know how.
That's how you get caught, nigga.
Yeah, this shit is a fucking rat. Like, I got caught like that once. Muted my phone and the computer start ringing and shit. It's like,
you got to Google that. Figure that out.
I definitely got caught like that once. That was a bad day.
I have a surprise for y'all and for the listeners. We actually have a sponsor.
Same difference.
Yeah, a sponsor that's going to be, that's decided they want to stick with us the long way. They're here with us the entire month. We played it at the beginning of the episode. We didn't, but we're going to, Trump. So we'll have to figure this out. But they actually sent us an ad. We're going to play the ad. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this brand, but let's see. Where's the ad? Here it goes.
Mind-blowing sex is what we all aspire to experience. But how many of us have truly arrived once and then successfully come again? The ladies of Erotic Boudoir make it their mission to prioritize your pleasure, as well as guide you and your partners into a place of continued ecstasy. Erotic Boudoir has sparked, rekindled, and immensely enhanced scores of relationships by their expertise in sex toys, adult film conventions, and sexual demonstrations.
Oh, shit, she turned off. The phone turned off. Well, we're going to play it at the beginning. We're going to play it at the beginning of the episode anyway.
Shout out to Erotic Boudoir. It's lit.
Man, that's a nice ass ad. Whose voice was that? I'm going to have sex with them.
Oh, God.
What if that's her mom or some shit?
Oh, man.
It probably is, and that's the funny part.
Yo, those are the two of the horniest women in the world. They really know all about all sex toys. I text them anytime I have a question about anything.
Same.
They really do all of the fucking, they are willing to help you with any of your sexual toy needs.
Yep.
Any of your explorations, anything that you aren't familiar with, but you want to know about. They have an Instagram, which is Erotic Boudoir, B-O-U-D-O-I-R. And I implore you to check out their page and get your freak on. Tron, when you gonna try a toy, bro? When you gonna try a sex toy, bro?
You stole the one that was given to me. And then you got the nerve to ask me when I'm gonna try it.
I tried to give it to you after. You should
I don't think the used sex toy business is...
Why? You can they actually give you this powder that cleans it off, all the lube and everything. Like, it's like brand new after you.
Clean it off for you to use it again, not for somebody else to use it.
I have weird sexual desires nowadays, guys. I don't know if you guys paid attention to what I did last week with Shorty for her birthday, hiring the dominatrixes, but I'm going a little further now. Yo, Orlando is turning me out.
Pause.
No, don't pause that. It's more.
You got to pause it.
Don't pause it.
You ain't got to pause it. He is. He's turning me out. He's telling me all of the shit that he's doing is making. It's opening my mind, and I'm starting to do wild and crazy shit to the point where I'm like some wild freak bastard now. I want to have like a sex cult. I want to have a OnlyFans. I want to open OnlyFans, and I want to have like orgies and sex parties and threesomes and shit like that, and put it on the OnlyFans. What do y'all think? Why did you laugh?
I think that you were on the wrong fucking podcast.
I think
this is not a safe space for you.
Nah, I'm only laughing because of how much flack you gave Orlando, calling him a $5 whore.
He does charge $5, so mine would be like 19.
He upped his price.
Well, mine would be like 19 because it'll be a lot of sex on there. There will be always multiple women on there. You know, there'll be multiple men on there. You know what I'm saying? Mine's going to be like a community. And I think that I want to turn people out. I think I like turning people out.
Hey, I support you, brother.
People could come and experience. Like, you have people to hear that know how to dom, that know how to eat box. It's a lot of women that want to have lesbian situations or threesomes or DPs or whatever that are scared to do it. They don't know how. how to get that situation happen. Daj, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. What do you think?
Not actually. I'm just minding my business, to be very honest with you.
You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I want to know what's on your mind. What do you think? This is too crazy for me?
No. I whatever makes you happy, friend.
I want to have fun with my life, y'all. I know I'm 45.
It's like a midlife crisis.
No, I'm really enjoying the fuck out of it. I don't care if this is my red Corvette. I am enjoying the fuck out of the revving this engine. It feels amazing. And I really got to thank Orlando for that. I really do. His openness and his willingness to explore has fucking leaked onto me. What do you call it? When something passes on to you?
Transferred
on to me.
And Orlando is a nasty slut bitch. But
I want to transfer that shit on to other people.
Listen, as the world turns.
Hashtag So Shameless Podcast. I want to know what you think on Twitter. Hashtag
if you want to be a part of Tahoe's
if you want to be a part.
Orgies.
I ain't going to lie. I would start with professional women first. Because I can't even, as y'all know, I don't know if y'all know, but I couldn't even get hard in front of other women 2 weeks ago. So I can't act like I'm going to do all of this shit. And I couldn't even get my dick hard. So I'd have to get comfortable with a lot of things first. And I think professional women would help me do that first. You know what I mean? I want to watch people have sex too first. Too. I haven't done
it. I want to do the rope tie thing that you did. I saw some neon ropes and I'm like, oh, that shit looks fire.
Yeah. I think I definitely need to take another rope class and figure out how to do all of that because dominating people is some fire shit, son.
Yes, it is.
Suspense and the sexuality. Yo, Trom, I'm telling you, I wish you would do some shit like that for your lady and just watch and just experience because it's a whole different level of your sexual life that you have. We will never know until you explore some shit like
that. Right. I'm not against it. And I applaud people that are, you know, into exploring things like that. Like, that's dope, man. Go for it.
I'm excited about it, especially since Beyonce said it's cool to have OnlyFans. Just like, fuck it. If Beyonce said it's cool, then Orlando might have been on to something.
Right.
Now Orlando was on to something. You see? Laugh now, join later.
Son, I hired them doms only because Orlando was talking about being dominated. And I sat there and watched Shorty. So I bought these two doms to surprise Shorty for her birthday. And man, when I tell you, I told the story on Heart of Soft. It was amazing. It was a fucking amazing experience. But my dick didn't get hard. So I was just sitting there looking like, Shorty called me a cuckold. So Shorty is strapping. Shorty, she got the strap on. She wilding out. She's like, I'm fucking your bitch. You can't even fuck your bitch. I was sick. I was so sick. Anyway, bro, y'all gotta listen to the story. It starts. It was the last episode. A lot of things is going to happen after this, though, because I think I've just opened up this Pandora's box of experience.
It's very hard to go back, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have Erotic Boudoir as our official sponsor because, they be sending me some shit, man. Some things that I still haven't even had the chance to really fuck with the way I want to, but I got some things over here.
Speaking of things that I got some clothes that one of our sponsors sent us.
Oh, really? Did Orlando give you the stuff that I sent that somebody else sent us?
I was wondering, can we talk about that off the show? Because I don't know what to give Trauma now. I just got this shit. I don't know what's what. You just gave me two things. Anyway.
But I'm going to plug it as my black business, so it's fine.
We can go into black businesses then. Set it off.
I thought we were going to talk about Insecure. Is it up?
It's kind of, we're like 2 hours in, 2.5 hours right now.
All right, fuck it. Hold on, let me get it.
2:45
Let's just move forward.
So my black business of the week is called It's Bomb Aesthetics. It's Bomb Aesthetics, sorry. So it's a black owned business that has like different things. So I gave Tahoe a bath bomb, was one of them. Another thing that Tahoe has is a body butter. And here I have an all-natural air spray, so an air freshener. And it actually smells mad good. It's called Summer Joy. So that's my black business of the week. Check them out. So, you know, when it comes to, like, little things, you don't have to be buying from the white folks. Buy from us. I want to see his spray. Oh,
I see you looking. I guess you have something, but you're looking for it right now? Trump?
Yeah, I was looking up the Instagram handle. So, I'm not even going to lie to y'all. I ain't even have a black business. I just thought of it just now. And the reason why is because I've been so overwhelmed. Like, yo, my timeline has been flooding with black businesses. Mm-hmm. And not just businesses, but, like, lists and threads. And it's so fucking dope. So I'll actually send some of those threads to Joy so she could repost it. But I love the spirit that's going on, man. So I didn't really have one, but I thought of one. They're in Brooklyn, but, you know, they got a website, like everybody got a website. So Peace and Riot. Their Instagram handle is Peace and Riot. P-E-A-C-E-A-N-D. And then Riot, R-I-O-T. That's their website also. So they sell, like, a lot of household items and shit like that. Shit that you could get at Home Goods and Target. But their stuff is doper. It's a little bit more expensive. I'm not going to front. But that's the thing, man. Sometimes you got to pay for better quality. And sometimes you got to pay a little more to support your folk. Peace and Riot.
I love this stuff in Peace and Riot. They have one right on Tompkins Avenue. They actually started here on Nostrand Avenue.
Yeah.
And they moved their store. Once they got bigger, they moved their store over to Tompkins Avenue here in Brooklyn. But you're right. Their stuff is way too expensive. I didn't mean to say it that way. I'm sorry. Because me, it's like I shop at Zara, right? Mm-hmm. Zara shit is like $89. But it's literally a replica of something that's probably $500.
Right.
Right? That's what Zara does. They remake all of this shit. And Peace and Riot has some dope shit, but I don't know. I like Home Goods.
Me too. And it's hard, but it's like, you know how the Asian folks got like a stronghold on the beauty supplies?
Yeah.
That's because they get the distribution. Most of the shit is made in China or whatever. They have the distribution channels to get it for cheaper. So if a black person opened up a beauty supply store in a black neighborhood, people are going to buy from the Asians because it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. Because they have a stronghold on the distribution and they won't fuck with us and give us those distribution channels. Mm-hmm. So when you really dissect it and break it down like that, it's fucked up. Like, yo, sometimes you got to spend a little bit more money with your folk.
And Peace and Riot is basically a black-owned Urban Outfitters. Okay. That's exactly what it is. They have games in there. They got the hats. They got t-shirts. They got furniture. They got all. It's a black-owned Urban Outfitters.
I would say Urban Outfitters / Home Goods because they got a lot of more home stuff than Urban Outfitters would. But they got.
I'm mad that I said what I said openly. That's something I should have said because I actually do want people to go see Peace and Riot. It's a dope-ass fucking store. It's a dope ass store. So I don't want you to sit here and look at, because when I say it's a little bit more expensive, I'm talking about maybe from $39 to $49 or $59 or whatever. But like Trom said, there's a lot of channels, a lot of reasons why these things would be more expensive, but they are better quality. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to find shit that they have in Peace and Riot in Home Goods.
Right.
You'll find something that's a lot less, you know what I mean? Or whatever, but all right.
Fine. I have one more if you don't have one, Tahoe.
I actually do.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't have anything, but I did want to speak about the challenge that we have.
Okay, so can I plug one more?
Go ahead.
In the light of Starbucks and they bullshit, because you know Starbucks is always doing some bullshit, I would like to say for my Brooklyn folk to try your best to support Black-owned coffee shops if you can. And my cousin owns a Black-owned coffee shop, and it's called Coffee Spot BK. It's on Classen Avenue. So if you guys are looking for a coffee shop, it is open. You can go there and get your coffees and your juices and your muffins and all the
you
good
know
shit.
Where it is on Classen?
679 Classen. So it's on Classen between St. Mark's and Bergen.
Oh, okay. Right off of Eastern Parkway. Mm-hmm. Well, close between Fulton and Eastern Parkway.
Yep.
Good job. Now, we have a challenge. I don't know who's still here. Everybody probably dipped after the getting your dick sucked at 3 p.m.
You got to chill.
But we do have a challenge going on right now, and a lot of people are taking part in it. We're getting emails, we're getting DMs, we're getting all that with all of these receipts. I know it's probably driving Joy crazy, but we have a challenge where from now until the end of June, whoever spends the most slash most receipts is most consistent with buying things from black businesses. We have a cash reward of $250. I have now extended that for the rest of the year. I know, well, for 6 months. I don't know when that comes. But the idea is that for Trom, I know, what was your thing? What's it called? Your principle?
Cooperative economics.
Cooperative economics. The idea is that you all would go out and say, I'm going to purposely support this black business every day. I'm going to purposely support black business every day. I literally have not, besides things that I could not do outside of it, spent money with nobody but black businesses since last week. Literally, like, beside, I mean, if I had to go to a corner store, matter of fact, if anybody could tell me of a black-owned corner store in Bed-Stuy, I will start going there every day.
Damn it, there's one in, like, Crown Heights. Oh, fuck, I used to know where the shit was at.
If anybody can tell me or something like that, let me know with a black-owned corner store where I can get little things from, juice or eggs or whatever, whatever. I'll jump in my car and I'll go over there. I got time. But it's like, yo, we're saying we're going to support. Nigga, that shit could cost $4. It can cost $10. It can be buying shit from Tier. Smurf was, Seymour was like, yo, I spend $1,000 on Vinny's every month. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's cool, but that's not like continuously supporting back. I'm talking about every day. We buy shit on the street. We buy shit in the street every day. We spend money every day. The black dollar is supposed to circulate in the black community. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal for us. As a matter of fact, I have a
234 Troy Avenue in Crown Heights, a black-owned corner store.
Yo, who the fuck keeps calling me?
Who the fuck is this? I'm gonna send it to the chat. 234 Troy Avenue.
So yeah, I'll start busing over there to Crown Heights. I mean, if it's close. Close enough. But I really just want people to start actively saying, yo, I'm going to spend this money in my community. Like, it don't got to be some shit where it's custom. You could go get anything. They got beauty salons. They got nail salons. They got fucking West Indians. I'm talking about West Indian too. Jamaican restaurants. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to fucking McDonald's, go get a roadie or some shit. Let's start spending that money in our community.
You did that on purpose.
Black people, what? What?
Said it wrong.
That's how I say it. How are you supposed to say roadie?
Roti.
I just said roadie. What's the difference?
Roadie is the nigga that goes on tour with you and carries
fuck
all
you
the bags.
Too. Fuck you too.
Fuck you,
every
nigga.
Every fucking thing I've said, this motherfucker. Oh yeah. You know how to say roadie better than me too, Chum?
Roti. Just say the T, nigga. Man, don't say B.
Roadie.
That's not it.
All right, well, that's what it is, okay?
It's not. Spell it.
R-O-T-I. Roti.
Fucker.
Roti. Anyway, this has been a great episode. Thank you guys all for coming. Shout out to Erotic Boudoir. Shout out to Heart of Soul Podcast. Shout out to Parker. And shout out to Trom's girl. And that was
nice. Oh, shit.
So shameless, man. Let's go.